welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Our houses are on fire, practically.
Yes, good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning.
I was looking at the footage of the fire this morning, and I was thinking, that must be encroaching on the Bonaducci residence.
Yeah.
The former Bonaducci residence.
Still, as I understand it, is still there. I don't know. The cops came and forcibly took us out along with the animals.
It was evacuated.
What time?
I came home from San Diego. Seemed like night, like 10.
10 o'clock last night.
9 or 10, yeah.
Wow. So were you asleep?
No. I had just gotten home. Everybody.
You just
maybe it was
in.
Earlier than that. Maybe it was earlier than that. Maybe it was 8:15 now that I think about it.
Uh-huh. So the cops showed up, but it was dark.
Not completely, but I mean, you could see the flames. I sat down and I'm looking, because I stopped at Starbucks on the way home.
Right.
And I see the flames, and they're far away from my house. And I think, oh, that's really weird. And then the first coffee bean I stop at doesn't have any power.
Uh-huh.
So I call home and nobody answers. And then Isabella calls and says, the cops are here. We're being evacuated and we can't find the cat. So I said, I'm 5 minutes away. I pull out. And of course, traffic is stopped.
Yeah.
I'm 5 minutes away on a normal day. So literally as they're putting down the last cone to stop me from getting home, I go. The cop hasn't had a chance to get fully in my way and stop me, so I go.
Right, right.
And I'm listening on the radio, and they're evacuating my street by name.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so I pull up to the house, and a woman named Kyla, who has helped, she's, I guess, our Ozzy. Except
Oswaldo. Yes, your female
like
Oswaldo.
She's a real-life like artist,
uh-huh.
painter-artist, not a painter, house painter.
Yeah.
And so she has come
she's
over
on... She's a Picasso
her,
with a mop.
Right. she has come over, I guess, of her own volition, just heard that it was that close to the house, and she's there.
Probably looting, but go ahead.
So is the babysitter, and so is Isabel, and so is Dante, and they seem cool, but it is raining ash. I mean,
yeah.
Raining and really hard to breathe.
And say raining ash and hold your tongue. I just want to hear what that sounds like.
Raining ash.
I said it was raining
you know,
ass.
It would be so funny if I was telling the story of, like, I don't know, my mom or something dying. Anyway, then I'll try this way.
So your mom,
she grabbed her chest. Say it with your tongue.
You can see, and just to get everyone reset in case they don't know the topography, Danny lives sort of on the across the hill from me, and the fire that hit about 3 or 4 weeks ago was dangerously close to my house.
Yeah.
This one is on the other side of the hill by the zoo, by the observatory where they filmed Rebel Without a Cause.
Right.
And it's a weird thing. You know, a lot of people picture Los Angeles as just urban sprawl, and it is. But there is a lot of open land in the hills.
In case you're curious, that is the largest urban park in America.
It is.
Yes.
The Griffith Park.
Yes. Urban park. Like, why, you know, the Grand Canyon's a park.
Right. In the middle of a city. And and it hasn't rained much, if any.
Since the 80s.
And it's now, it was 102 degrees yesterday.
Right.
So it's a big tinderbox. So now it's on fire. Can you see the flames
from
your house?
I could see them from mine.
It was unbearably hot. I mean, that's,
right.
I did not wish to go. I had hurt my shoulder pretty badly in a stupid accident yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to leave. I wanted to pack up everybody because they didn't seem hysterical.
Right.
And just tell them to go, and I'm going to go take a hot bath and soak my shoulder. But then, I mean, it seemed like the flames had actually burnt my neighbor's house already. They were so close. But I just heard today there was only one structure lost, and it was actually called Dante's Park or Dante's. That's also my son's name.
I know.
Kind of spooked me out a little bit.
Well,
300 people have been evacuated.
So maybe somebody can share or shine some light on this topic who's listening. Someone's involved with law enforcement or firefighting.
The 20 cops that were in my front yard, because I think we were the last ones out.
I can't figure out whether, you know, half the time there's a fire, people stay at home, stand
right
on the roof with a hose. The other half, they're forced to evacuate. What's the difference between being forced to evacuate and hanging behind with a hose spraying down your roof? Like, How do the cops decide whether you have to leave or you get to stay with your hose and leave when you want?
Well, I know, I only know this by what you've heard on the radio, except it was happening to me at the time, so maybe it's a little more like, but I'm dead serious. I only know what you know, except I was hot.
Right.
And that made me know we're not kidding around. It's raining ash that it's not, like, difficult to see through, but if you were driving, you would think you were in a snowstorm. It's that thick.
Right.
So the cops go up and down the street the first time on a motorcycle rather quickly, and you can't tell that they're saying leave. So I'm thinking, how important can this be?
They're just doing it via the loudspeaker.
Loudspeaker. So how important can it be?
Right.
But then the patrol cars come by within about 5 minutes, and they're slow, and they're clear. You have to get out. You have to leave the area right now. Grab your pets. Grab your important belongings. Grab your important papers. So I go, okay. And everybody's doing all of that kind of stuff, and I can't help lift too much because I hurt my shoulder yesterday. And then an army of policemen on foot started banging on door to door.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this morning about 25 people refused to leave their homes.
That according to the mayor.
So I didn't know you could do that. But then I thought, and this is to answer your question, the mayor, like, yelled at them.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we have to have cops in front of your house now. We have to have a man stationed in case you went wrong.
Yeah.
The good news is the mayor's accent is so thick in Los Angeles, the people couldn't understand what the F he was saying.
Well, the silver lining for me did not happen. I sat there and prayed for that place to burn to the frigging ground.
That's my last words. The cops were, if I don't come back and just see a heap of smoldering ashes, I'm going to be P.O.
Yeah, I'd have slipped somebody 100. No problem.
If my TiVo's not physically on fire when I come back, I'm going to be P.O.'d.
Yeah, the thing is, I have always made a joke. Not a joke. I've just said, you know, we've done, I think we did on this show, what would you grab if there was a fire?
Right.
Do we ever discuss that? And I said, nothing.
Right.
I just walk out. If my family was safe, if there's no pictures, no nothing, so I just walk out the door, which is exactly what I did. But
you know what I do? I have a black belt. It's not a black belt from the martial arts. It's physically just a black belt. But I like to say, I would take my black belt.
Nice.
And I just say it that way. I earned it. And I would take that. It's precious to me. And no one ever has any follow-up questions. It's a leather. It's got one of those reversible buckles.
It's a brown belt, actually, on the other side.
Right.
Hey, don't make fun of those. I have a couple of those that are cool. I have one that does it in thirds.
I have three-way, It's a triangle. It's a pyramid that goes around. No.
Oh, yeah.
How's that mathematically possible?
It's black on red, one side, and red on the other, right?
Right.
But there's the twist buckle.
Yeah.
And then about 8 inches in, there's another one. And then 8 inches there, it's another, I guess, with my...
Oh, so you could have solid black, solid, or you could look like a sea snake.
Exactly. Exactly.
You won't be attacked by sharks.
Well, I have boots that match that up exactly.
Okay. One third shark, red, huh? Two thirds
I would like a square one that was a four-way reversible belt. Just a cube that goes around you.
I'm sitting there, and I remember my mom's out of town, and I guess my brother will have a key to her apartment because we've called all the hotels are sold out that would take this many animals.
Mm-hmm.
So my brother has a key to my mom's new place. And I say, okay, let's go there.
Now, it's nighttime. You're with Gretchen.
Yeah,
you have the animals and the kids.
Giant dog.
You pack them in the Armada. Thank Christ you have something the size of a liquor store with wheels on it.
What is that car?
The Nissan Armada?
It's really called an Armada.
Oh, my God. It's just so big.
Everyone knows about...
it's got three TVs, and you actually need them.
Any naval historian will tell you about the famous Japanese Armadas.
Real quick,
how they clash with Spain.
I know you want to take that for a moment. I think this is a poignant moment I'd like to make to you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I was praying for it to burn to the ground, because I have all this junk I don't want for one thing, and that would just answer it. Gretchen won't throw it out. It's tax papers, whatever it is. But it's a full two-car garage, and I want it. If it would burn, I'd be fine and happy. But she loaded the kids in the car and said, I'll see you at your brother's, and left. And I remembered, oh, yeah, that lady's divorcing me. There goes that family, and this family's going to go get in the Armada with the dog.
Yeah.
And I just like really hit me.
If this was a
one
movie,
family left.
If this was a movie, you guys would get into the same car. You'd exchange glances. She'd put her hand on your hand. You'd receive light oral, and then you would take off to the sister's house.
I kind of mentioned that, but in I don't want the divorce.
Right.
And I even mentioned that at the hotel once we got there, and we had adjoining rooms.
Right.
And I said, you know what? My life is going up in smoke. My house is going up in smoke. I'm not sleeping in the next room from the woman I love. This is too much for me. I'm going somewhere else.
Is that how you ask for the doomsday oral?
That's how you asked for it.
I was curious.
And I said, I just can't do this. And she just made a scene about me being insane. But it just seemed so perfect, you know?
Yeah.
But when it just seemed to me that one set of the Bonaducci family got in a car with the house just about to be burned, the cops saying, you have to get out of here. And I was still sitting there with the dogs.
You're not all staying together at the same hotel? Yeah, you're joining rooms, but you're not in the same.
Eventually, we did. Okay. But the point is that the cops are screaming, this is go now. Take what's important to you and go. And she did.
The kids.
And then I went back in the house and had a couple of cigarettes and thought about how Kramer versus Kramer is this moment.
Actually, Danny started the fire, to be honest.
It really.
I do think it was a cigarette.
It really broke my heart. It was really when they said, get your family and go, and she did.
I'm so sorry. That must have been very sad.
Yeah. I was amazed. And I couldn't. Gretchen's not an emotional person like me. Like, she couldn't get that. She went, what do you mean? I just left. I said, I meet your brothers. But they said, you know, grab your family. And you did. It was really a sad moment for the kid.
John is a firefighter from San Francisco. Yeah. He knows about evacuations. John?
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good, John. How do you decide whether somebody gets to evacuate or someone gets to stand on the roof like a maniac with a hose?
To be honest, it's your choice. When you own your home, by law, we can't kick you out ever. You can stand there inside of it and just let it burn down with you inside of it. But we come up and we basically strongly advise you to leave. We can't ever tell you. I mean, you're king of your castle. King of the castle. King of the castle.
Right.
You can't ever leave. We can't ever come up and say,
so there's a lot. Yeah, I understand. So there's a lot of these laws, a lot of things cops can't do, a lot of things officials can't do, but they don't tell you they can't do it. So they just show up and they go, sir, empty your pockets. Sir, please get out of the vehicle. Sir, drop your pants. And you're like, okay. But you could say no.
It's like your Miranda rights, and why almost nobody ever uses them. It's because it's all in the phrasing.
Right.
They don't finish the sentence. They don't stop with, you have the right to remain silent. Everything you say can and will be used against you. Stop. They don't do that. Right. They go, you have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. So why did you do this on Saturday night? And then you just start telling them stuff.
Right. So, John, you're saying the guys that are on the roof with the hose refuse to leave.
Yeah, they're idiots.
Now, hey, John, let me ask you this as a firefighter, because I live in a brushy area, and I've done the math.
Just his eyebrows could catch
on a dry day.
They're I could go up. My head could go up like a Roman candle. And, I thought to myself, the other day, I would I'd be one of these guys who'd hang out around my house and spray it with the hose. And then I thought, maybe water pressure's bad. Then I thought, I got a swimming pool. What about those things where you fire up the pump and drop the hose into the pool and use your own swimming pool as a water reserve?
Yeah, we carry those actually. On our reserve rigs, we'll carry, they're called like floato pumps. We'll carry those, and they put out good pressure. But the problem with it is unless you have large diameter hose, you're not going to affect anything. You're not going to save anything, to be honest. Like a garden hose, people stay on the roof with a garden hose.
Yeah.
They're not doing anything. What they're putting onto their roof will evaporate off in seconds.
Immediately.
Just from the rain. I mean, nothing. It really prevents nothing.
And those pool ones are have like a lawnmower engine on them, like a Briggs and Stratton engine.
Yeah, those things will put out. They'll put up good pressure, and you'll get good water out of them. But you have to have large diameter hose. You can't just have a garden hose connected to it.
Right. All right. Thanks, John.
Yeah, not a problem.
I do think about those things. There's a part of me that goes, hey, man, you ought to get one of those things, store it away, keep it ready, and then there's a fire. Again, you have 50,000 gallons, namely your swimming pool, as a reservoir to work on your fire, which is great. I just know they will find my ashes. My bones will be perched over this Briggs and Stratton engine hanging on to one of those rip cords and attempting to start it when Ozzy didn't put any gas in it or something. That's how they'll find me. Like, I know there'll be an irony. Like, I know, you ever look in the Sky catalog and you see those life hammers? Hey, this is the hammer you use, and if you go into the lake, you can cut your seatbelt off and crack your windshield and swim to safety. I know it'll be in the trunk of the car. I know that'll be my last thought if I ever. Now, if I don't buy the life hammer, I'm never going into the lake in the car. If I do, Chappaquiddick City. And the wife or Ozzy would have just put it into the trunk of the car, making way for the baby seat or something. So there's a part of me and I'm semi-serious about this, that says, if and you buy one of these things, there's a greater likelihood that this is going to happen. And not that you'll be prepared with it, it'll be in your other pants.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, if you buy yourself a buck knife, there's a very good chance that 10 minutes later, you'll either get jumped by some hoodlums or there'll be some parcel you need to open, except for said buck knife will not be anywhere near you for some reason. But your last thought will be, God damn it, I just bought something that would be perfect in this situation. Unfortunately, it's in the trunk or in the other pants. All right. The good news is I only have one pair of pants, if people know me. I have one pair of sweatpants and one pair of Dockers, so there's only
Could you imagine
50-50 chance the knife's in the other pair.
The cleanup mess of the melted, smelted, bedazzling beads.
Oh,
where my jeans used to be. It's just too sad to even think of.
All right. Well, good news now, there, kiddies.
Yeah, did your family pack up your kids and leave when your house was on fire?
No, we we made a, as we do every Tuesday night, we pulled out the big chocolate fountain, and me and my loving family all dipped strawberries into it.
I'm joking.
Until we fell asleep into each other's arms. No, I sat on the computer and grunted at my wife. You're kidding. Every Tuesday, chocolate fountain night
over the Corollas.
Come on, you guys have been there.
Because I've always wanted to live that life. That's the kind of thing I always talk about. You know, like, that's what it should be. Life should be a chocolate fountain with strawberries. Oh. That's how you're supposed to love somebody.
Adam, please tell me there is Corolla, no portrait.
There's no friggin' chocolate fountain in this bastard's life.
Here's a...
There's no chocolate fountain to go along with this complete lack of heart and soul, in case you're wondering what other parts he's missing.
I'm soulless. I really am. It's so sad. No, here's what happens at my house. What happens is we sit down to eat dinner, although we do it in front of a 42-inch television set that has TiVo on it. I treat it like a football coach in game film. It'll play, and I'll be watching Entertainment Tonight, and then I'll stop it, and I'll go, and I'll freeze it, and I'll go, sweetie, this Paris Hilton, she thinks she's something special. She thinks she doesn't have to follow the same rules that you and I have to follow. Well, I say those days are over. She's going to have to do 45 days, just like you or I would do if we got busted for a DUI. And then my wife goes, yeah, I know, I think. And then I hit the pause again, and I start watching the TV until I think of something else while she's talking. Sometimes she gets mad at the cadence, and then I'll stop it again and go, let me tell you something else about this Jessica Simpson. And I'll talk about her for a minute, and then she'll go, I know. She'll go, I saw Jessica once, and I'll just hit play again, and I'll sit there and watch it.
How long to get through Extra?
It took about 3 hours to get through about 22 minutes of content. Speaking of 3 hours and 22 minutes of content, Huell Howser, everybody, my favorite, a fixture here. Believe me, that observatory that almost caught on fire up there, I'll bet you Huell has been there many, many, many times. Not only interviewing the guests that are coming from the observatory, but perhaps parked on the mountain road. On the backside, can't get into that. Did you guys know about that? You know how that works? You drive up to the observatory.
This is very interesting.
You drive up to the observatory, their car is parked along the road, or at least there used to be.
Oh, no, I'm sorry.
Bill will weigh in on this one.
Yeah.
And guys, see, here's the thing about guys. Guys, when they're in charge of deciding who they get to have sex with and for how long and how often and how many dates, answer 0 in 2 minutes and when I'm done.
Yeah.
Those are the answers. I mean, if Danny and Gay Bill got together and decided, let's see who's going to be in charge of the sort of who's going to be the calendar that we measure when we get to have sex, they would be having sex before they had that discussion. So with guys, when it's guy-on-guy sex, it's pretty much like this. Park on the road. I'll come up to your window and knock. If you give me the thumbs up, we'll go into the bushes. That's how guys would do it with women, by the way. If women wouldn't make us take you out on 3 days before we got to do that.
Three? Have you met Teresa Strasser?
Yeah.
It's closer to 10.
I know. All right. Well, anyway, Huell Howser is going to the Bunny Museum. Do we have a shout out? Let's hear that.
Here comes Peter Cottontail, hopping down the bunny trail.
Oh, I'm in love with this man. We're going to break down the game film. And I've been to the same museum, by the way, so I can offer some insights here. Huellhauser, Bunny Museum, next.
Here's what's coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
What up, peeps? Today we got E! Entertainment reporter Ben Lyons and Penthouse Pet of the Year runner-up Krista Ann in studio. Hey, how come this promo is so short?
You didn't test well, Jack.
Damn it! That's the same thing they told me down at the free clinic! Again!
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, my favorite time of the show, Huellhauser. We break down the game film. Now, again, Huell has been a fixture on Southern California television for 20-some-odd years and beyond. I guess he goes into Northern California.
My dad watches him in Northern California. He's all over the place.
And like Buzz Lightyear, this
and
guy.
Beyond. That's right. Huellhauser is a tall, rangy, corn-fed ex-Marine who... He looks exactly how he sounds, or maybe I just know what he looks like, and that's why he sounds exactly how he looks. I don't know, but when you hear Huellhauser, that's what he looks like. He is a big old hayseed.
Is he adorable? He sounds adorable.
He is nice, and he's the guy you would want to bring over when you buy your first house. Because you know when you buy your first crappy 1,200-square-foot dump in Koreatown?
What?
And you're surrounded by sexual predators.
Right.
And then your snooty mother-in-law comes over and goes, oh, so small.
Yes.
Oh, are you going to cover these hardwood floors? And you go, I just refinished them. So you're not going to put carpet on? You know when people ask an embarrassing question or humiliating question and then a humiliating follow-up?
Yeah.
Are you going to put carpet down on the raw floors? I just spent all weekend sanding and staining them. So you're not going to put carpet? Yes, thank you, C. Thank you for the follow-up. No, you want to ask a third time? So you're not. Okay. Huell would come in your place and go, this is great. Oh, my goodness. Great. And you'd go, yeah, Huell, it's just a galley kitchen.
This is amazing.
A galley kitchen. He would make you never feel better about that 1,200-square-foot dump with half a bathroom in it if Huell came in versus many others.
And flips out that you have a picture of Burt Lancaster that you bought at the store. Because you don't know him. And that's a full segment.
Yes.
That's a guy who, A, could possibly suck, or could be a genius. It's hard to tell.
Well, I'm a fan of very good, and since there's not too much of that out in this world, right, whether it be sitcoms or documentaries or comedies or movies, I then became a fan of the very bad. And Huell is very bad. Not interested in the middle. The middle is King of Queens. Got a couple of chuckles in it. Not a bad sitcom. Not a great sitcom. That's just the middle. Not interested in the middle. Feel like I can find that anytime I want. But real bad and real good. That's what I'm looking for. Right. Huell is real bad. Now, I always use Huell as an example of what no competition gets you. It gets you long-winded conversations with people you didn't want to hear one syllable from. And nothing edited. Why? Because we pay his salary.
Right. We're having a ball out here.
He's on public television and he can't be fired. There's nobody nipping at his heels. Nobody comes into Huell's cubicle and goes, Huell, we're getting our ass kicked by the other travel shows where they talk to people who have gravel museums. Nobody ever says that. There's no sweeps. There's no nothing. There's no competition. Thus, we get long-winded conversations with old-timers about who have rocks in a mason jar.
Well, where's Huell going on this episode?
Oh, wait a minute. Huell is going to the Bunny Museum, a place I've personally been. Now, let me say this.
I heard the other half of this conversation yesterday and couldn't believe it and couldn't figure out what Adam could be possibly talking about with his half of the description of what he had seen.
Okay, look, let me explain. First, let me explain this, and Huell will broach this as well. Just because you've collected a certain amount of crap in one category does not make it a museum. I went to this gay guy's apartment in West Hollywood because I thought I was going to the Charlie's Angels Museum. As it turns out, it was just a sad, pathetic, single gay man who was attempting to be straight, living in a one-bedroom in West Hollywood, and he happened to have a Bosley lunch pail. That is not the Charlie's Angels Museum.
I went out with a girl on our first date. I was young. She was in a band called Amazon Rocks, and it was all girls under 19 and over 6 feet tall.
Yeah. That's a museum I'd like to hang out.
And she had every pet she had ever had since she was a child in her freezer. I went to this chick's house and it's all gothed out. But you got to remember, we're talking 1977, 78, so whatever goth was then, but dark and dark reds and a lot of candles and stuff. But she's 19 and 6 feet tall, and I'm 17 and 5 foot six. I'm going to climb this babe like a tree and be very happy about all the crazy, out of my world goth things that are about to happen in my life.
Okay, time has passed.
And she decides it's important that I get to know her. So she starts pulling hamsters and cats and mice.
Frozen.
Out of her freezer that she had her whole life, like since she was a little girl.
They're frozen whole?
Yeah. She was going to chop them up and eat them. Yeah, they're frozen.
Well, I don't know. You gut them and put glass eyeballs in them?
No. She just put them in Ziplocs.
Oh, boy.
Well, this bunny museum.
I was wondering if that made it a dead pet museum.
Yes.
Yeah. Does? Okay.
I guess. I mean, like I said, you can call anything museum and you can call anything headquarters, I've decided. You can say it's your party headquarters or your grad party headquarters or your Halloween headquarters. I could take a refrigerator box and put one plastic pumpkin in it and just write your Halloween headquarters. And listen, when I'm in charge, I will decide what your headquarters are and what your museums are. And 1,200 square feet in a dilapidated house in Arcadia is not a museum. Right. I want to see a grand entrance. I want a guy. I want a guard. I want one guard.
Oh.
I want some hours on the wall. I don't want to come up a lawn and step over a big wheel on my way to the museum. So this crazy broad is running the bunny museum, and all these crazy broads are the same way, which is, first thing I keep thinking of is, all I can think of is, how come your husband hasn't faked his own death and moved to South America? And they always do that thing where they're like, are you kidding? He loves it. But the guy's never anywhere to be found. And they're always like, they always do that thing there. They go, it was his idea. No, he bought you a bunny. He bought you a chocolate bunny for Easter in 1972. Yeah. You are the ones who sheared the lug nuts off your brain and went nuts with the bat. And he's tolerating it as long as the sex is good. That's the way. And listen, ladies, make no mistake. We're not interested in anything you do. We just pretend to be interested so we don't get cut off. We tolerate. There's a difference between tolerating it and being interested. We look the other way. We're sort of like the citizens of Germany somewhere in the later 30s when Hitler took over.
Yeah, right.
It's not like we thought every Jew should be rounded up. We just didn't want any trouble, so we looked the other way after Kristallnacht. All right, it's bunny knock time.
Sure, the trains are coming back empty, but that's not our concern.
That's right. All right, let's listen to Huell's first entry into his log.
Here we are in the northeastern part of Pasadena on Jefferson Street, and our destination is this nice little house here. Now,
little.
At first glance, this looks like just a nice little house on a nice little quiet street. And here it is. Here's the sign to welcome us. Welcome Huell Hauser to the Bunny Museum. Hop on in.
Cute.
Written with a construction crayon on a pack of cigarettes and duct tape to the door, I'm sure. This place was a broken down, dilapidated, he said small. When Huell says you got a small house, you're living in Barbie's house, and it was filled with crappy bunny stuff, so there was no room to maneuver. These people are pack rats. You know, when you go to somebody's house and it's filled with junk, you go, oh, they have pack rat syndrome. They're nutty. But when you go into someone's house and it's filled with the same junk, then all of a sudden they're collectors.
Right.
Right.
They're still just as nuts. They just focus their nuts on rabbits or hippos or Charlie's Angels. Just as nutty as the crazy broad that's collected one of everything.
Now, could there be a flip side to that? And this is such an exception to the rule that the answer is yes, but this may be the only one. Anybody here ever ventured to the Bob Marley Museum in Jamaica?
Oh, I...
Yes, I have.
I thought that was code for getting stoned.
No, yes, there is a Bob Marley Museum.
Hey, you want to go to the Bob Marley Museum?
In Kingston. I've been there.
After work.
You know how he talks about his shack and you'll have the comfort of my single bed?
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's your museum.
That just
his single bed.
That could count as a historical landmark, like Anne Frank's house.
Oh, my God, it's barely a prison.
But it's interesting, historically.
And stained.
But hold on a second. Is it the Bob Marley Museum, or is this the house that Bob Marley... Because you do that Lincoln grew up in a house with three walls on it, and here it is.
Right.
That's one thing versus the Reagan Museum or library or whatever.
It's the shack he grew up in.
Yes.
All right.
But it's the funny part to me is they didn't do anything to it because I guess they wanted to show the poverty.
Yeah, leave it untouched.
But poverty is not fascinating when there's no poor people being saved by rich white people.
Mm-hmm.
It was just his single bed, and you remember that song because it's on loop in that room, and there's nothing else.
Do you even go in?
But...
Do you go in or do
not
you
if you take a giant step? If you take a giant step,
you're
you've
through the back.
The door.
But do they call it a museum?
Yeah, it's the Bob
there
Marley
is also
Museum.
An actual museum, I think, with items.
Guitar
that
were
there now? When I was there, that was it. It was his house, and it was surrounded by razor wire.
All right. Well, time has passed.
Now I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
Well, it is going to pick up because we're going to play another clip of Huel at the Bunny Museum.
Candace, let everybody know exactly what's in store for us. Where are we?
We're at the Bunny Museum.
We are. Tell us about the Bunny Museum.
Well, it's actually our home. What we converted into a museum. And we have the Guinness record of the most bunnies in the world.
So are these live bunnies? Are these ceramic bunnies? Are these stuffed bunny toys?
We have 9 real bunnies and 22,000 items.
Oh, my gosh. Inside this house.
And outside.
Now, is this a real museum?
It is.
So it's actually called the Bunny Museum.
Yes, it is.
Let me get this straight.
Right.
Is it
the Bunny
Museum? Is that what it's called?
Yes, I call my dog Prince. He's actually part of a monarchy. No, you call it the Bunny Museum. And when she says we converted it into a museum, she means her and her crazy brain.
Yes.
Not her and her nutty husband.
Right.
Oh, that guy's miserable. He owns a bike shop. And he spends as much time out of the house as humanly possible. I went on the tour. You feel sorry for the kids. You really do.
He told the kid there was a van waiting outside to go outside and take him away.
I told him, run. Right. Run. This is, do not make me pick up the phone and call Child Protective Services. You being raised with the nutty bunny lady is tantamount to abuse.
I've learned that the line between shut-in and curator is very blurry.
Yes, it is. All right. Let's play one more before we go to break.
Well, what you're seeing is a love story. We didn't set out to do a museum at all. It's a very private thing. Everything you see are gifts between Steve and I.
All these bunnies?
Yes.
You give to each other?
Yeah, about 1% is from family or the public that they want to give a thank you. But what you're seeing is Steve and our love for each other, expression of our love.
And there is a lot of love. There is a lot of love here in this Bunny Museum.
Well, if Huel wasn't off the ladies before the visit to the Bunny Museum, it's now, now cemented in his psyche.
But by your definition, how good does this Bunny Museum curator have to be in bed to have all these bunnies?
She got to do it better than the bunnies she collects.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'll tell you the one redeeming value, the one redeeming quality, as I've said many times about being a nut job who has an obsession for one thing. Like there's the chicks, there's the, your mom's, your friend's mom who loves hippos and everything hippos.
My mom used to be owls.
Owls. There you go. Come Christmas, come their birthday, it's a layup.
Yeah,
it's
so easy.
It's like, yeah, you're buying gifts for everybody, and there's that thing. It's like, well, just get him a bottle of scotch. He doesn't drink. Well, what's his team? Get him a hat or something. Since the Rams moved, he doesn't follow. What are his hobbies? He likes to read. What kind of books? I don't know. When someone is into bunnies, here's how it goes. Get some crap with bunnies on it. I don't care if it's goddamn salt shakers or belt buckle or a stupid farmer's hat. Just get them some S with bunnies and that's done. Boom. Check that box.
Yep.
That person's done. And when somebody has a team or somebody has a booze or somebody has a bunny, They're forever shopped for.
Yeah.
There's never 10 minutes of time wasted come the holidays. What do I got to get Aunt so-and-so? Just go to the store. If it starts with a B, grab it and give it to her. She's done. She probably has 18 of them already, but she probably wants 20. We'll take a break. Huell Howser continues his tour of the Bunny Museum next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Superior, Wisconsin. A 20-year-old man had to register as a sex offender after being convicted of having sex with a dead deer on the side of a highway. Definitely not a Jew.
Huell Howser, big rangy hayseed on PBS. It's been on for 25 years, and he will make you feel good about your dwelling. I don't care how boring. I'm telling you, I saw him interview an old-timer holding a jar of rocks for 20 minutes.
That's my favorite one.
And made the guy feel great about himself. I wish Huell was around. I would take him on a tour.
Howdy, how you doing?
Doing good, Huell. This is my first crappy apartment I lived in with three guys.
This is amazing.
One bedroom right on Laurel Canyon.
This is great.
Huell, that's the futon me and the Wheeze used to double up on back in the day.
Oh, boy. And this is nice.
There's a cardboard box I used instead of a curtain.
Now, I got to tell you, things look pretty slow right here, but I think it's going to pick up.
I decided to break up the texture, Huell. I went with foil on this window.
All of this almost too exciting to bear.
Hey, would you like something from the fridge, Huell? There's no handle on it. You have to just yank on the top part.
He laughs at your jokes, too?
He's a good man, that Huell. Jovial Huell.
You all have earned your pay right now.
So Huell, who's been touring around the Southland for 25 years and can't be taken off the air, no matter how boring he is, has made a stop at the Bunny Museum to talk to a crazy, crazy blonde-haired woman who I spoke to. I did a tour of it. Not to, you know, heap praise on it, but I realized there was a funny bit I used to do on a late night show. I think it was called Adam Makes Fun of Your Collection. And I would just go to your house and make, instead of, because that's what they do on all these shows. You know, they do these magazine shows like Eye on LA, and so it's always Sunday morning at noon or something. And they go to these people's houses, they look at their collection of vintage Bobby Vinton 45s or whatever, and it's like, you're watching going, this is lame, but the person's going, this is awesome. This is awesome. Wow. Wow, you have a whole milk crate filled with Bobby Vinton 45s. This is awesome.
As the Polish Prince, for those of you that didn't know.
Bobby Vinton. Yeah. And then what happens is I'm sure as soon as they get back in their van, they're like, ugh, hand me the Purell.
How do I kill myself?
Jesus Christ. That was pathetic. So I just thought I'd just call a spade. Well, Huell is not. Huell is on the Bunny Museum. And where's he? He's going to watch her feed the real bunnies. There's real bunnies.
Okay, I'm going to sit in the little bunny chair and watch Candace feed the live bunny.
Come on, guys. You hungry? Look at that. Oh, here comes Mark. And there's Honey Girl and Jackie Rabbit.
Wow. You know, there is something so cute about little bunnies in there.
Yes, you know, the poor cameraman's last gig was the Girls Gone Wild competition island or something, and now he's standing at Huell just hoping he dies and he can form a rigor mortis tripod. The only worse than the poor Huell is the poor cameraman who has to stand there and hold a 40-pound pack to film something that should never be filmed.
That should never made television, ever.
That's right. Louie was his cameraman for years, but I think Louie died. I suspect he took his own life, but he's passed on. He has passed on.
At the Tombstone Museum.
Now, Huell, although it didn't stop Huell from doing a hard-hitting interview with Louie a year after he passed.
You're dead.
Well, it's got to be as interesting as the one from Third Eye Caster.
I tell you, Brian, go find that one. Find the one. Can you find him at the Baghdad Museum? This is Yul Houser. This is, I've been watching him for years, but this is when it clicked, when I watched him at the Baghdad Museum, Baghdad Cafe, which is a rundown restaurant, that, like in the middle of a dust bowl in Baker, California, talking to an old timer. And then he gets the guy who owns the Baghdad Cafe, but it's only on the phone and he doesn't have his end of the conversation. Mike, enjoy.
Howdy, how you doing? Well, we're just doing an interview here, finding out about the Baghdad Cafe. Is that picture in there of Burt Lancaster?
My favorite.
Why is there a portrait of Burt Lancaster in here on the wall of the Baghdad Cafe? Oh, you just bought it. He's never actually been here. They just hung it up. Well, it looks good.
All right, now understand, I didn't get that from the dumpster over at the PBS station.
They didn't throw that away.
No, that it's not like I sat outside with a stocking pulled over my head and waited for them to bring out the garbage can from the editing room. I just saw that on TV.
That was televised.
In between Channel 7 and Channel 5. There it was. Wow.
Editing time costs a lot of money.
Evidently.
I must admit that got me out of trouble just yesterday, though.
Really?
That Adam's love for Houser got me out of trouble. We had the singer guy from
Ellie Yamin.
Yeah. And the girl that was just kind of hanging out turned out to go to my wife's ex high school. And I said, hey, that's funny. And she went there to Tennessee. And Adam goes, Danny's talking to the one person without a mic. Real dismissive. And I got him out. You want to give me some more Hugh Houser, buddy? And Adam just kind of goes, okay.
Well, so I do.
Like, thank you for that opportunity.
I do have some more Hugh Houser for you there.
God bless you, sir.
Here he is.
Wow. Oh, look. Let me pick that
You
up.
Can, and if there's some dust bunnies, we don't mind. Dust bunnies live in the bunny museum.
Unsanitary living conditions is what it's called.
That's one of
my favorite
pieces. One of Steve's favorite, too. He loved it.
Who would ever think of a bunny driving a carrot car?
Isn't it great?
Now, again, the house started off at 900 square feet. It's down to basically a coal mine because it's packed full of bunny crap and you can't get anywhere in the place. And it's disgusting and filthy and the kitchen's a mess and poor Steve wants to kill himself at the bike shop. But let's keep going.
All right, we're just going to stand here for a second and take our breath before the tour continues. Is that okay?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting how people do get overwhelmed here.
Yeah, I'm bunnied. I'm reaching a bunny max.
Yeah.
And listen, when Huell tells you he's maxed out on whatever you're showing him, believe me, he's a bottomless pit that cannot be filled. I mean, he can talk to 90-year-old guys about gravel for 2 days straight.
Nice to talk to you.
Is that really a box of rocks?
Yeah, I mean,
that's amazing to me.
He really can. He can talk to an old timer about the Earth's most plentiful substance for days on end. So when Huell tells you he's had an packed ass full of whatever you're selling, it's time to take a good long look in the mirror.
He was still trying to be polite about it. You know, he just needs to take a breath before he continues.
Now, was he overly excited because of all the amazing bunny toys, or is he tired from being old? Why does he need to catch his breath from the bunny museum?
I think that is about as close to ball busting as Huell gets.
Yeah.
Huell realized 4 hours into this bunny museum odyssey that maybe him and Louis should pack up and cut bait. I think that's what happened, because this woman is insane, and there's nothing to see. All right, let's continue our odyssey.
And these are all our bunny slippers.
Oh, bunny slippers.
Yeah, bunny slippers.
Oh.
Ah. See, Huell's out of gas at this point.
He's done.
Wait, this guy's calling up and he says he knows why Louis is not on the show. Isn't it because Louis has passed?
Louis has passed. Like time has passed. Or so.
No, Louis has passed.
So we think. Chris?
Yeah.
What happened to Louie, the cameraman?
Well, it was funny. My buddy in college, we were roommates. His last name is Fuerte as well. and we were watching the show because I've been watching it since I was a kid as well. And he's like, yeah, that's my uncle. I'm like, what?
Louis the cameraman.
Louis the cameraman.
Yeah, and let me explain Huellhauser. Huellhauser is like a horrible indigenous dessert that you grow up with when you grow up on a weird island, and then you crave it later on in life. But when you give it to people from the mainland, they're like, what is this crap? Oh, it's great. It's root, and we soak it in vinegar, and then we salt it, and it's a great delectable dessert. And you're like, are you high? This stuff tastes like ass. And they're like, oh, you had to grow up with it. You had to grow up with it. That's what Huell is. He gets into you. He gets under your skin, and you grow up with him, and then you get a craving for him. Yes?
Yes, exactly.
Sorry, no, it sounded
gay. Do you have any insights on Louis?
No, we didn't have much because by the time we started actually watching it all together, he was quitting. He couldn't stand being around Huell anymore.
Oh.
Wow. He couldn't take the fast pace.
No.
He had to get off that merry-go-round.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like life on the road with a rock band, traveling around with Huell in the van, looking at aqueducts. All right.
What would you do? We get the aqueducts. I don't think they're a more random thing. That's perfect.
I have no idea, but Huell will stand out in front of an aqueduct for 4 hours talking about it.
Chris should get Louis to call in.
Chris, get Louis to call in.
I'm going to try to do that. I got to find you. I just talked to Jamie the other day. If I can get him to call on, that would be awesome.
Well, we heard that Louis had passed. That's what we had heard.
He might have after all those shows.
All right, well, check it out with your former roommate.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good times.
Thank you.
All right, now Huell sees Bugs Bunny's plates.
Wait a minute. Look at this. Bugs Bunny plates?
You can tell even Huell, who is an endless, he's a burning nova of excitement for anything has run out of steam with the Bunny Museum. Well, he's officially hit his limit. Let's hear it.
Okay, I've reached my limit. Reached my limit on bunny stuff. I love bunnies, but I've reached my limit.
I've never heard anything like this.
But I would highly recommend this to anyone who wants to have fun, see a collection of bunnies. This has been more fun than I realized it was going to be. Now, what is it you say to everybody to end their experience in your bunny museum as they are leaving, as they are walking out your front door?
Enjoy your complimentary. Oh, right.
Have
shower.
A hoppy day.
Yeah, that's right. Have a hoppy day.
Oh, my God.
You understand
God.
What we're dealing with, right,
yeah.
People?
Yeah.
A hoppy day.
That's when they say their spouses love it.
So we've accomplished our mission.
People come from all over the world. Well, first off, the all over the world means they don't know how crappy your bunny museum is. They heard museum and they thought, oh, this will be great. We'll have lunch at the kiosk.
Right.
We'll park in the underground parking. We'll take the tram up to the main museum.
Gift shop. We'll have bunny slippers.
It is a crappy, dilapidated house. And here's the thing. When you fill your house with crap, you can't work on your house. When the walls are crumbling and the roof is leaking, there are 8 feet of bunny to get through before you can fix the plaster wall.
We'll be back.
Saddest thing is she was telling me plans of a new and improved bunny museum.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. Yes, they're going to buy some land. They're going to do it right. You know, a real bunny complex.
Right.
State of the art.
It's a testament to her and Steve's love for each other.
Yeah. All right. The Bunny Museum, everyone. Huellhauser. We kid because we love.
Yes.
You know, you really, I think that is totally true. I think you are smitten in a non-homo way with Huellhauser.
I think it's safe to say, much like the indigenous dessert made of some sort of bitter root. Yes. Yes,
okay,
that
I've
is
reached
true.
My limit.
T.
Yeah.
I've not nearly topped off on your news. What do we got coming up?
Well, we'll discuss the fire and where that stands. And also, it's going to be time for a celebrity drug and alcohol roundup. Because between Tom Sizemore, Ty Pennington, and Paris Hilton, there's a lot of drug and alcohol busts going on.
Good times. Yeah. We'll get to that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
And now, the Adam Carolla Show presents Great Moments in Local News.
And that is when it got frightful fast for the picnickers.
Within about 10 or 15 minutes, the whole hill was burning and the smoke was traveling through us and ash was falling in our pasta salad.
So Ms. Cathcart and her friend moved their Scrabble game to the north side of the park, out of the smoke plume, but where they could still keep an eye on it.
That's a great moment in local news. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow. You want to talk about shaking hands with the devil? Getting ash in your pasta salad? You have to pick up and move your Scrabble game 20 feet. Whew.
That's what it was like. That kind of danger.
I call that the hell and back, buddy.
But you know what it was that was weird about it? Was it was so close, it was hot.
The like, fire. The fire.
Yeah, and I didn't expect that. The raining ash thing didn't bother me at all, because I've seen that, you know, from Mount St. Helens, there was fire. There was ash 20 states away.
Right.
So I was like, that didn't mean a lot to me. But then when I noticed, hey, it's really hot out here, I thought, my house could actually burn to the ground.
It was, it was 100 degrees yesterday, maybe more in the Southern California. Of course, a fire broke out right near the Bonaduce residence. I don't need to look at a thermostat or a thermometer to see how hot it is. I just stare at my dog, Molly. My dog, Molly, when it's 60 or cooler, is a ball. It's like a bud that hasn't bloomed yet.
Right.
And then when it gets into the 80s and 90s, the dog splays out. I mean, the dog is just lying there like shooting a porn. Just legs akimbo, paws straight out over the head. I mean, animals will let you know exactly how hot it is by how they sleep. When they sleep in a ball, that's time to get the comforter out. And when they are just spread out, I mean, ears spread out, the dog looked like it was on a rack. Is how my dog Molly
all Molly's secrets
sleeps. That's how Molly sleeps, and that means it is a hot night.
I just thought of something. Your dog, and I think since we're staying on pets, I'm staying on topic. I think your dog and my dog should do dog porn.
Yeah.
Sid is hairless, and yours is not.
Mm-hmm.
I've
mm-hmm.
never seen a porn where somebody wasn't hairless.
Yeah, hairless okay. Sid be like the guy who shaves his junk, and my dog Molly's like a hot blonde.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we should, you Let's know, they do with the pandas. Nobody's seeing the market for the cash for this that I have. I got cash registers going off in my head like crazy.
Just, I know Molly, and she's a sweet dog, and I don't want her turned out.
All I'm saying is whatever, if Molly gets knocked up, what will come out of Molly will be the world's most worthless creature.
Really?
Between Sid and Molly, all they do is eat and crap, right? But my dog does nothing. My dog's a mascot.
Well, that one, my dog actively hates me.
Oh, okay, interesting. So it's into the minus category. My dog's just a zero.
Well, he's hideously ugly. You've seen the picture of him, right?
Yes.
He's this ball of flesh that looks like he has vitiligo, except where he's not gray, he's this other gray.
Right.
And he will get up on the back of the couch like a cat, and in mid-conversation, walk over and pee on my head while I'm talking to somebody.
I've had that fantasy so many times, Bonaduce. He actually whiz on his master's head.
Right on the head.
Wow.
Right while I'm chatting away, thinking I'm all bitching important.
My dog just ignores me, so you're actually in worse shape than me. T?
Yes.
The news, baby doll.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
We've been talking about it already this morning. Orange flames above the Los Feliz neighborhood that houses one Danny Bonaduce were visible across much of Los Angeles yesterday. According to Mayor Villaraigosa, about 300 people were evacuated, including, of course, the Bonaduces. About 25 people refused to leave their homes. Here is a city councilman describing the fire.
This is the worst fire in Griffith Park since the 1961 Beechwood Canyon Hollywood Land fire. The dance of the fire remind me how Mick Jagger dances on stage. It has gone all over.
That's super blowhard Tom LaBonge, who I tried to get on the phone once 8 times, and he never called me back.
Really? What were you trying to get him for?
To call him a blowhard, and there's no reason he didn't call back.
Probably had a question about left turn arrows or something like that. I've got to say, I've spoken to this guy in person 1 or 2 times, and many other politicians. If you are anything close to a human being, they will give you the heebie-jeebies. They just stare right through you. They talk very fast. They glad hand. They give you a lot of double speak to get you to shut up so they can move on. I mean, it's really the handful of politicians I've spoken to in my life. It's like not talking to a person. Scary.
Right.
Yes.
How close to a human being do you have to be? I'm wondering, like, do I qualify?
Tom, you're 7/8. Tom LaBonge is barely at the halfway point.
Oh, wow.
And Maxine Waters is like talking to a mop. She is an insane black woman who used to, I don't know what she does, L.A. City Council, or she's a congresswoman or whatever. She's like crazy Aunt Esther from Sanford and Son. She's insane.
I loved her.
Yeah.
How about Police Chief Bill Bratton? You met him?
Never spoke to the man.
He has said that the fire may have been caused by the, quote, careless disposal of a cigarette. That has not been confirmed, but those were reports yesterday.
I always do like it when it's an accident versus some nut job who started the fire. Some guy blows a butt. You know, Bonaducci throws a butt off the balcony and the wind's blowing the wrong way. I don't care. I like when everything that involves death or destruction is an accident. I hate it. You know, plane goes down, accident, sad, but all right. Okay. Terrorist, I hate it.
Right.
Fire, arson, hate it. Cigarette butt, fine. Sad, but same outcome.
Right.
I just like us better as a civilization.
When we first moved to that area, because we actually lived kind of in the park, if you will. Our first house in that area was the last house before the gates closed. So part of our property was actually in Griffith Park. Mm-hmm. And the day we moved there, we found out that they had a serial arsonist who started like 4 fires every week.
Mm,
but really? They were tiny and contained, like a bush on fire, and he'd run and he'd rent another one. And none of them ever turned into anything but smoke, but they would block the streets immediately with fire trucks.
Yeah, guys, the arsonist is right up there with the pedophile. For me, which is, you need to be destroyed.
Okay.
There's nothing we can do with you as a society. I can't talk you out of stopping what you're doing with the fires or feeling up the 9-year-old boys. Right. We just kind of need to put you down.
Yeah, it's one of the 3 factors associated with serial killers. They are bedwetters, fire starters, and animal torturers in general.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 1 out of 3.
So right. I think you're fine. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you looked at the fire last night.
Although if you set your bed on fire, the only practical way to put it out.
Right.
I mean, I'm not defending these people, but there's 2 out of 3 right there.
I didn't even think about that.
That's
absolutely
right.
That's a good point.
Your bed bursts into flames because you're an arsonist.
You got one choice.
Also, you're going to pee on it to put it out and save your family. I think you come out of wash.
True.
So last night after nightfall, it appeared that the fire was about 25% contained, but they're saying today should be about between 90 and 95, very dry, a little bit windy, not a good day to put out an enormous 600-acre fire.
It'd be funny if fire chiefs were like football coaches, you know, with 110%. Like they go, well, right now we're about minus 20 contained. But we're hoping for 110% contained by the end of the day.
100%, 110% containment, nothing less.
That's right. Dig deep, fellas. Let's go now.
My house just burnt to the ground with one of my pets in it. Walk it off.
Walk it off. This is not Leisure World, ladies.
We'll keep you up to date on news about the fire. Meanwhile, in pop culture news, we talked about Ty Pennington yesterday from Extreme Home Makeover Home Edition. He was pulled over on a DUI, and yesterday he was officially charged. Would you care to know his blood alcohol level?
Yeah.
0.14.
Not bad.
Almost twice the legal limit.
Yeah, but that twice the legal limit, 3 times the legal limit, none of that matters to me. It matters to me how drunk you are. The legal limit is a variable. 1.4, I'm giving this guy a decent buzz. You know,
I was curious about
when
that.
When they get you the 0.8, the 0.08, right. It's just like, why did you bother this guy? Why did you wreck this guy's? If he's a normal guy, wreck his day, possibly his marriage. Who knows? Maybe his job.
Well.
But, you know, like with some of these people that they're going to be in the paper with a DUI, a .08 is a glass of wine, and then you got behind the wheel of the car.
Right.
Well, it's like Hasselhoff's video.
Okay, that, my friend, is not a .08.
What's
but
that?
That's if he's a normal guy that can handle his liquor, that's a 3-something. That's like unheard of drunk.
Point is I don't get to that stage.
Right.
Hasselhoff.
Not many people can.
Hasselhoff. But what the point I'm making is Hasselhoff, which is your point, he could have been twice the legal limit. He could have been where Ty Pennington is. That's what Hasselhoff does
when
he gets to Ty Pennington's point, whereas Bonaducci just orders another drink.
Yeah.
And with me, you just think I'm enjoying the TV set when I'm at that point, even though the TV set's
right.
Not on.
You
wouldn't know if I was loaded.
Yeah, you're unaware of this, but when I have a 1.4, I'm about 6 feet tall and can dance.
Yeah. Huh.
You don't know that because I have changed not at all to
Danny
you.
Danny is 0.05 and he hasn't had a drink in over a year.
Exactly. And if you bong any part of my body, I'm pretty sure you're going to get a buzz.
Well,
but it's been a while.
Paris Hilton is still facing, of course, a 45-day jail sentence. And it looks like she is actually going to do some time. There are dueling petitions now on the internet. Free Paris Hilton. Put Paris Hilton in jail. Rosie O'Donnell actually stood up for Paris Hilton on The View
yesterday. She can't stand up.
She rolled over.
Let's take a listen.
You know what it is, people don't, you can't really tell when you're inebriated, and part of the problem is when you're drinking, you don't think you are, right? So you'll have two or three drinks, and you'll have a whole veal parmesan, and you'll think, I'm 210, I can do this, you know, and then you get stopped, and you're drunk. But we're just trying to say that it is, you know, it's like teen pregnancy.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, kids are having sex, and some get pregnant. It's like driving drunk. Many people drive drunk. If you ask people in this audience how many people have ever driven when they've had too much to drink, nearly everybody would raise their hand. Doesn't make it the right thing to do.
What's your point?
Yeah, she goes on to say this.
I remember being, 21 years old, coming home from gigs, totally not in any capacity to drive. I was 21 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Not only, thank God I didn't kill anyone or myself.
She admits to drunk driving.
Okay, I've reached my limit.
You know what I want? And I meant to say this the other day to Scarborough. I didn't know about Pennington at the time, just in general. I don't want him to apologize. You know, if he's not a raging alcoholic like I am and blacks out, wakes up places and does damage,
right,
he should apologize for driving drunk and putting you at risk. But no public apology that I'm so ashamed and I have to go to rehab. What if he does that once every 3 months, gets up to a one lousy four, and his agent and PR people are going to drag him out like a monkey and talk about his social significance and how he set a terrible example and he's checking right into rehab. And he probably doesn't need to go.
Right.
It's just the thing you have to do now. And I'll admit, I can't ever drink. I can't. But if Adam were to get pulled over with a 1.2, Adam can still drink. He doesn't have to go out and say how sorry he is to the world. He tied one on and tried to get home from Jimmy's and got popped. Sorry I drove the car drunk, shouldn't have done it. But don't check into rehab and beg forgiveness of the world. Go have some more drinks.
He apologized to the rest of the design team over at the home expo.
Yes.
Yeah, that was part of
the giant apologies.
I am. Well, I feel like I'd like some middle ground, because you either get no comment or you get the huge one, and then eventually they evoke the Lord's name at some point, and then you go, please, kiss my ass.
Before it started happening regularly and I realized I had a problem and the reporters were right, my quotes were often, I don't care what you think. They'd say, well, how do you feel? Don't you have a responsibility? Mm-hmm. Dude, I still don't care what you think. Don't bother me. And then I started to care when they started putting me in jail.
Well, Danny, I don't know if you care about Tom Sizemore. Seems like you two have your paths
tried
to
rip off my act.
Let me digress for 1 second with this Paris Hilton thing. Philosophically, I'm not sure what this time is, and I'm not sure how it would work, but don't you think it would be good for you? And when I say you, I mean almost everyone listening to this show. Now, don't be practical. Don't tell me about your kids and your schedule. Don't tell me about the lawn that needs to be mowed or the job that needs to be punched into. Don't you think there would be something liberating about going to prison for 1 month? Just 1 month of whatever you thought your schedule is, whatever your worries of the day was, you're on a treadmill.
Right.
It's get up, the alarm goes off, you got to get this, whatever you were looking at on eBay to buy, whatever your next goal or your next whatever was, boom, it all shuts down. You, 10 books you always said you were going to read and never ever would, a notepad, a couple of number two pencils, pack of smoke, some lozenges, and you just sit down and go to you for 1 month, just 1 month. Now, I'm not talking about being gang raped in a shower or having a shiv put into you.
I packed Italian lessons, as a matter of fact, was one of the main things I
just think philosophically or cosmically, it would probably be good for almost everyone you know, including yourself, at some point, maybe in their mid-30s or early 40s, just to stop and get off.
Yeah.
Just going to get off of this merry-go-round known as life, known as the proverbial carrot dangling in front of us, that sort of treadmill, that moving on from one project to the next. What's next? What's happening this weekend? What's going on? Just pull the plug on it. Just a month of silence.
Does it have to be prison?
Can't we just go to Jamaica?
Can it be rehab?
What's wrong with you?
Well, the problem is there can't be access to anything.
Right.
You can't have a computer. You can't check what's going on CNN.com. Right.
They have very nice resorts like that.
I know, but what you end up doing is you bring your cell phone.
They don't want you. They're like spas. They're exactly what you want, except they're not prison. They're exactly what you're offering, except with good food.
All right, but then that costs $45,000, and a lot of people can't afford it.
Yeah. Look, it costs more than that. You're right.
This is never going to happen. Once in a while, I hear about someone who just gets 6 months, and they get it in some sort of, you know, not L.A. County, but they get it in some place that seems relatively safe and has a lawn growing somewhere, and you think, there's a part of me that's almost jealous.
Yeah.
There's a part of me that says, I would write the great American novel. I would read something I never read. I would go to a part of me that I never got a chance to ever think about because the noise is so loud in my head constantly. I mean, you want to think about the distraction of living in the society we're living in on the schedule and the cadence that we're on. It never stops. It's just one to the next and the next to the next. You sleep for 6 hours and it's right back onto the same treadmill.
Absolutely.
There's a part of me that thinks this is an opportunity for change. This is an opportunity to come. And you won't get this in life because you're on a constant schedule that doesn't allow for this. Oh, there's vacations, but you get drunk and hump and then you go home and complain about the service. This would be a This is like what people talk about when they say, I got cancer and everything changed. And I stopped for 6 months and I started to appreciate things that I never even thought about, so on and so forth. I doubt Paris Hilton will be any different than she was. But there's a part of me that's...
I should have a good story.
I'm always sort of secretly jealous when I hear about it.
Me too. When I hear about people going to rehab, I think, I wish I had a drug problem so I could go away for 28 days. Somebody would cook my meals. I could just sit around in group therapy and talk and maybe knit.
Lucky bastards in Detroit in rehab.
That one, if you're going to the right rehab, I was someplace in San Diego and they had Crossroads. Oh, I shouldn't say the name of it. But it's kind of a dump. Mm-hmm. You want to go out to one of the ones in Malibu where you get room service and the French chef. And if you don't have a drinking problem or a drug problem, it's a total vacation.
Right. I see what
Plus,
you're saying.
Plus, with movie stars.
Right.
It comes with movie stars. It's almost a guarantee.
Yeah, I used to fantasize about going to a nunnery when I was a teenager just because I wanted to get away.
She lost me. She had me, and she wants to go to a rehab with movie stars, and now she's at the nunnery.
I just thought it'd be nice to get away and not worry about what you're wearing.
Is that where the canned nuns?
No, that's the cannery.
I don't know.
All right. Tom Sizemore is probably not a stranger to rehab. Mm-hmm. I'll just get to this quickly. I would be remiss if I didn't include this in my celebrity drug and alcohol roundup. He was arrested on yet another meth charge yesterday at 7:30 in the morning. He and his buddy were at the Four Point Sheraton Hotel in Bakersfield. A desk clerk couldn't find their reservation, so his buddy started challenging the desk clerk to a fight. They called the cops, and then Sizemore and his buddy were in their car with meth and, of course, some paraphernalia. So he got pinched, and they, as far as I know, he and his buddy are still being held on $14,000 bond apiece. They were charged with possession of drugs and drug paraphernalia. And you may remember that he was busted back in 2004 for a probation violation when he tried to fake a drug test using the Wizinator.
The Wizinator.
Well, it's one of these things. It's sort of like Anna Nicole where they become the butt of the joke. They're laughing stocks. You can't understand this guy. What a mess. What a train wreck. God, is this guy screwing up his career? What a joke. And then they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Sizemore's as good as dead.
Yeah, really? But there's that sort of thing where Anna Nicole's a laughing stock of the community, and then she's dead. Like, that's what happens with drugs. And we can still laugh about it, at least Bonaducci can, but the person is, dead.
Yeah.
And we don't see this coming?
Well, I do with Sizemore because I believe he's gunning for it. I think I think that's his end goal. I've never seen anything like this guy. And I've seen a lot, and I've never seen anything like Sizemore.
Oh, yeah. Sad. I hope you.
This is like, and by the way, when Bonaducci tells you to get it together, it's like a ferret telling you to chill. It's like, you better take a long look in the mirror when Bonaducci's like, hey, brother, you better slow down. You know, I've never seen anything like this.
As Adam started that sentence, when Bonaducci tells you, my brain went 1,000 miles an hour. I wonder what this comparison is going to be. And a ferret telling you to slow down wasn't in the top 1,000.
Really?
That was a good one.
Well, I have to dial myself in. Kalani.
Yes, how's it going, Adam?
What's happening, brada?
What's up, buddy?
Hey. Love you guys.
Thanks.
I did 4 months at L.A. County. Never been in trouble in my whole entire life. I got drunk, and I really don't remember too much, except I woke up in Covina Jail, and they're arresting me for evading police.
Mm-hmm.
And next thing I know, my buddy who got drunk and disorderly was yelling across the Covina Jail that he's like, yeah, I don't think you're going to be let out this morning. They're talking about sending you to county. Well, I went to court the next morning, and sure enough, they sent me to county, and my heart dropped. And, I just heard all the...
Sure, you heard the stories.
Back. So I ended up going, doing my time. I got out, and you're right, Adam. I ended up reading. I didn't read since high school. I ended up reading books and, writing letters and, things to reflect. And I still kept all the letters I wrote to reflect back on it. And anytime I think, I want to do something stupid, I go ahead and pull those out and realize that,
Yeah, it did you some good. It's not always a bad thing. Thanks, Kalani. You know, when I hear about those countries where everyone goes from high school and does 2 years in the military, Israel or someplace like that, I think good. That's a good thing. Yeah. It's probably best. I don't care if you're bound for Harvard. 2 years of or a year of doing some push-ups and climbing a rope.
By the way,
how many ropes you run into in a combat environment? I feel like we spend a lot of time climbing ropes. But anyway, I just think it would be good for people. And I now realize what I would do. If I had 4 months in the joint or a month or 6 months in the joint, I would sit down in.
That's right. 4 hours.
But after I banged out my baker's dozen of that, I would focus on charting my life. I realize I have no, I think I've lived in 10 different houses, maybe 20. When did my parents get divorced? How old was I when I moved out of the house? When did me and the Wheeze move into that place in North Hollywood? And then when did I get that Datsun 240Z? And when did I start building the gym? And it's all sort of I guess I was in my 20s kind of feeling, but I don't know. I've never really sat down and worked it out. I would probably just go through it and try to get a timeline together for my life all the way up until that point I was in the prison.
I just realized something. If you were to take a third of the advice Adam Carolla gives you, you will get this opportunity to go to jail for 30 days and read.
Yes, well, I'm going to stay in the emotional nunnery and prison that I'm in. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, my favorite doctor's up next. Dr. Gary Alter now. Gary Alter. I know it's a novelty name, but his name is Alter, and he has written books, and I mean big, thick books on gender reassignment surgery.
The kind you can read in prison.
Yes, and then vomit on, because some of the pictures in this thing, really, it looks like some of the stuff from liberated camps.
Yeah, he takes a forearm.
1944.
And makes it a penis.
Well, he makes it a host for a penis to keep the blood supply going.
Brian's forearm is always a host for a penis.
True.
I haven't done any work on it.
Dr. Gary Alter, also, he was featured as the doctor in the Arquette video in the new documentary that was out at Tribeca when I was there, which is the Alexis Arquette video. He was the doctor who was in charge of his/her reassignment surgery. Wow. So I have many questions for Dr. Alter. He's also board-certified plastic surgeon, so if you have questions for him about booby jobs or nose jobs, whatever you like, give him a call. 866-901-AM. We'll take a break. Dr. Gary Alter next.
If you want to change your sex, you can call Dr. Alter. He can turn your wang into a badge, Dr. Alter. Oh, Dr. Alter. Turn a girl into a man. Give a chick some bigger cans. He'll change Joe into Joanne. Dr. Alter.
Dr. Alter's taking your calls at 866-901-ADAM. Here's Adam. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, it's the part that always bumps me. When you do the whole tranny and you go transsexual and you go for the gender reassignment, your name was Dennis and you now become Denise.
Right.
Just change the whole goddamn name.
Jennifer.
You've cut your penis and testicles off. Just go ahead and pick a new name.
You're going
to
be Jennifer.
Yeah, but when you adopt a dog, you can't totally change its name. It will only answer to something like my dad adopted Hazy and he had to make her Maisie.
No.
No.
You know what it is?
My doggone answer to any kind of food.
It's a nice little extra F-U to Pops is what the dentist to Denise is.
Is that true, Dr. Alter?
I'd say that
yes.
Probably, but 90% of them keep a variation of their name.
Right.
Every once in a while, you know, they take a wide break from their old name,
mm-hmm.
and they do what you say. They just total break in the name.
Well, you hack off your wiener. You think you might want to make...
Hey, you're ready for change.
I'm ready to chop off my junk, but I don't want to make the real
full knees
yet.
Nothing says I'm open to change like lopping off my junk.
Right. But that's not what happens. The good part of your junk is kept.
Right.
Well, how
so
does
it
work?
You can keep a good part of your,
your penis. If you were going to turn Danny into Danielle.
Now, that would be an interesting operation.
Well, see, Danny's lucky. He's not tall and 240 pounds.
Please be careful.
Okay? Yes.
So, what? I feel the luck about being short. I walk around thinking, God, if I wanted to be a chick... I'm probably one of the luckiest guys I know, especially with these pipes.
It looks weird.
Exactly. Danny, you're there.
I couldn't be more proud.
Right, but you don't want to look like as John Lithgow.
Yes.
Exactly.
In According to Garp, right? Exactly. Or Life According to Garp. So if you're changing Danny, what's the first surgical move you do on his genitalia?
On his genitalia? Well, the first thing is I remove some of the skin of the sac. Because
mm-hmm.
I'm going to use that to make part of the vagina.
Oh, I thought you were going to say lampshade. Go ahead. sick bastard.
It's not World War II.
Clint. Right.
And then I would take out Danny's testicles.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Take them out?
Yeah, they're gone. They're history.
Right. Okay. Toss them away.
So there goes your testosterone storm, Dan.
Yeah. Right. So okay. you take some skin off and put it aside.
Put it aside.
How do you do that? I mean, how do you store it?
You store it in either a blood-soaked sponge or mm-hmm. you store it in saline or salt solution.
And in a refrigerator?
No, you just put it on the side table. It'll stay... skin has a low metabolic rate,
uh-huh.
so it'll stay viable for hours.
So you're going to use it later on that afternoon in
right.
the procedure?
Correct.
And
correct.
The testicles going right to the rear view of the Cadillac?
Basically, right.
All right.
Yeah. And then I take the erection chambers. I separate the skin of the penis
mm-hmm.
from the erection chambers.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what happens is...
Now, the erection chambers are the two chambers.
This is amazing!
On the right and the left side of the penis that fill with blood.
Correct.
They're about the size... Well, I don't know why I would say a test tube, because they can come in any shape or size, but what is that exact shape? There's something that comes in the...
Well, there's a cigar tube, but...
I was thinking that, but one end
of that's more Tipperillo than Big Cuban.
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Two Cicerillos, right. Well, no, they can be big Cubans.
Yeah, they can.
They certainly can.
I just have two big Cubans that actually carry my
own Cicerillo.
You know, their feet hit American soil. They had to have a gig. And I said, okay, you can carry this for me.
But now you keep the head of the penis still attached to those erection chambers.
Sure.
Okay. So the skin of the shaft is mm-hmm. it's kept intact to its blood supply, but you kind of move that away from the erection chambers.
Right.
Okay.
Then the next part is I tie off the base of each of the erection chambers
mm-hmm. to try to decrease the blood flow mm.
without injuring the nerves that go to the head of the penis.
Got it.
That part of the head of the penis is going to be used to make a clitoris.
I just
that functions.
It has sensation just like a clitoris.
It's attached to the erection chambers that used to be there.
Well. The nerves that go to the head of the penis or the clitoris, the head of the clitoris, are separate than the nerves that go into the erection chambers. So what happens is to make the clitoris and to get rid of the erection chambers, I open up the erection chambers to get rid of all that spongy tissue so that the woman's not going to get an erection.
Right.
But, so I remove all that erection tissue.
China, the wrestler.
And right. then I keep the nerves attached to the head of the penis.
I don't know why, but whenever Alter comes in here, I just picture his parents when he's 6 months old holding him up to the sun and saying, my boy, he'll be the greatest cardiologist of all time.
Hey.
40 years later, he's going at Arquette's junk with a scalpel.
Think about it. I mean, a lot of doctors have God complexes anyway, and they just take your tonsils out.
Yeah.
This guy takes one of God's creations and turns it into another one.
Right. I mean,
you could get a big head, so to speak, and then have it taken off.
Yeah, I mean, they talk about cloning editing or stem cells and playing God, turning a dude into a chick. You want to talk about the ultimate playing God gig.
Yeah.
This is it.
Especially if they didn't want you to.
Well, someone just mentioned
how cool would that be?
You worked on Alexis.
I cannot say whether I worked on Alexis or not.
Well, can I tell you this?
I do know Alexis.
Whether you made it or not, the entire man's a dick.
Yes, that's a good point.
She was on edge when she came in recently.
Well, here's what I want to ask. And we have a clip of Alexis when she was on this show. She came in, or he came in, or it came in to talk about this documentary or this procedure or this announcement it was going to have on Oprah. And then when we started asking questions about lifestyle and about the whether he was physically a she at this point or biologically, it got very offended, which my overall argument with all these people, whether it's the cross dressers or the goth whatevers or the people walking around in life with the bone through their nose, the proverbial bone through their nose. You know, the folks, you know, the guy who wears the eyeshadow and then goes and hangs out by the jock locker room. And then when he gets his ass kicked, wants to know why he's being unfairly accused or judged or prosecuted. You're looking for it.
Right.
When you put a dress on and you stand in amongst normal people in society and they look at you, you can't go home and go, everyone looks down their nose at me. Of course, you're a freak show. You want to blend in? Get some khaki slacks and a turtleneck sweater. We won't look at you.
Perfect example I ever saw that was David Letterman had Boy George on when he first broke huge.
Right.
And he's sitting on Letterman's couch in that giant hat of his with different colored dreadlocks in the front and ponytails all over, in a dress and full makeup. And David Letterman says, what's the downside of all this? And he said, I've lost me privacy.
He lost me privacy. Look, I don't mind you flying your freak flag. That's your business. That is your business. But if you're going to get all gothed out and go hang out by the jocks, be prepared.
She was also
for some questions.
Right. She was promoting a movie called something like Trannies from Hell. Or, you know, even her movie was about
right.
Being...
So obviously that's her celebrity. So when you then bring up the celebrity, it's like Monica Lewinsky will come on the show, but she wants to talk about her line of handbags, not about what she was doing with the president of the United States. Baby, that's not why you're famous. You're not a famous designer, and Arquette's not a famous actor. She's famous because she has famous brothers and sisters, and B, tranny. That's why.
But I heard Monica only actually gave him a handbag, that they really didn't have full sex.
Dazzled.
Just gave him the handbag.
So she pulls in here, and we start asking questions, and she just starts getting indignant. And it's, again, it's the kind of questions that I thought were completely appropriate. It wasn't an attack. We just wanted to know the procedure.
Yeah.
And when a dude is wearing kissing potion and pumps and saying, why do you want to talk about this? It's like, hello, Earth to dude.
It's like anything. You can't have it both ways.
Right.
In other words, you can't, if you know you. You can't be a Tom Cruise and expect not to have publicity.
People want
privacy. So it's the same thing. I mean, if you're going to stick it in people's
faces.
Just
don't be angry about it when someone takes a picture of you leaving the ivy if you're Tom Cruise.
Right.
All right. Let's hear the delightful Alexis Arquette.
I assumed that you were very open about talking about these things and that you appreciated being able to educate people about things they might not know about.
Right.
Alexis,
I think you're
desperate.
Angry.
Very angry.
No.
Yes. Adam, what is she
I'm
mad
so
at?
Angry.
I don't know.
Why? Because I get in fights? You guys put yourself in my position for
not
a second. Imagine for a second,
right.
Adam, that you were born a Nazi and everyone thought you were a Nazi.
Mm-hmm.
You dressed like a Nazi. There was no way to remove the Nazi costume.
Mm-hmm.
And you were nothing about you that was a Gestapo-like. You were, in fact, Jewish.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But everyone thought you were a Nazi.
But
how would you feel?
I'll show you how I'd feel. Ready? Hey, Adam, you got this Nazi suit on and all them Nazi clothes. Are you a Nazi?
Hold on, I got to strangle Teresa and then I'll tell you.
He just say no.
Here's the thing: I've probably not put on the uniform and two-step over to the radio station.
Yeah,
right.
I live this way all my life.
I don't have to show anyone my genitalia or talk about it because it has nothing to do with who I am.
Right,
and you're a prick.
We're out of time. Please. Alexis Arquette.
You just say lightning.
Okay.
You just say go.
I'm disappointed. Oh, she's leaving.
Take your headphones off, Alexis.
I've always been a fan of her, and she was very angry.
You know.
No way.
All right. That's enough.
We meant no disrespect.
All right.
Violently just shoved the microphone toward
Don't make me help you to the door. Go.
I think it's nothing more than that. I think it's performance art.
She's very angry.
What a shocker.
What is she so mad at?
Yes, very angry. So she did the She's My Brother documentary. You were part of that documentary.
Right.
I've seen bits and pieces of it.
It's more than I've seen.
You've never seen it?
No.
It was playing
Tribeca, yeah.
But I can't figure out whether she actually had the... Obviously, if she's talking to you, she's talking to you about gender reassignment surgery.
To be honest, Adam... I can't really tell you anything.
It's doctor-patient confidentiality.
Yeah, but
if you made a movie about it, talk about it.
The part in the movie is basically just me examining her and talking to her. So I can't, Alexis, I think the reason why she was very upset is because she wants to talk about her transgender mental approach to life. While everybody is asking her, have you had the surgery? Have you had the surgery? And she was saying, look at whether you have the surgery or not doesn't make me a transsexual. What makes me a transsexual is the way I think and the way I act and the way I look at myself.
Right.
Whereas the media keeps saying, gee, did you have the surgery? Did you have the surgery? And she says, I'm just not going to tell you. So look at me as a person who's a transsexual instead of a person who has had the surgery or not. And that's why she got upset. Okay. It wasn't that you were asking questions. It was that everybody's just focused on whether or not she's had the surgery.
Well, you just clearly articulated it, though, Dr. Alter. And if she had said that to us, I think we would have appreciated it.
No.
I would have.
I wouldn't.
Because,
first of all, Dr. Upsley, you unfairly or fairly only heard the end of that. We were very polite.
I heard the whole thing.
We wanted to talk to her about being her and what that's like and lead up to a very obvious set of questions that have to be asked. I mean, if Adam wants to interview me about some show I did, but I come in and I'm on fire. He says, so you started out as a child star, and then things went bad, and you took drugs, and then you made a comeback with that show, and I answered these questions. He goes, and by the way, when did you catch fire? You have to ask that question.
That's true. Yes.
She has to understand that.
We led gracefully up to that.
I think it's legitimate that you ask the question.
Now, here's what happens. Right. People dangle stuff
exactly.
out in front
Literally.
Of you. People
right.
in this town, it's the worst. People go, I got a killer idea for a sitcom. It is an awesome idea for a sitcom. I think this thing is definitely going to get picked up for 13. And you go, oh, yeah, what is it? And they go, I can't talk about it.
Right.
Shut up, a-hole. Don't dangle stuff out in front of me and then suck me in and then cut me off. It's a power play. You ask questions, I'll shut you off. It's a power move. And when you walk around as Alexis Arquette does, it begs the question, are you actually a female or are you a man living as a woman? Of course it's going to come up. It's human nature. The reason it gets asked everywhere it goes is because it's a very obvious top-of-the-list question. It's not society's fault. And by the way, it's one of these things. If everyone tells you you're fat, you're fat. If everyone tells you you're an a-hole, you're an a-hole. If everyone asks you the same question wherever you go, chances are it's you. It's not society. We've all agreed. We want to know. All right. Now, which is it? Come on.
Which?
Tell us.
I'm not telling you anything.
All right. So
Alexis is a woman.
You can tell us what goes on in the movie.
Alexis is a transsexual. Well, in the movie, it's, I know what they film me in the movie. They just show me talking to her.
Right. A knife in your hand.
So if I watch the movie, will I know? And you haven't seen the movie.
No.
Why haven't you seen the movie?
No, you say no, you won't know.
What? To be honest, I didn't even know it was going to be at the Tribeca until I found out a few days before. So
Jen's a transsexual.
Good. Let's talk to Jen.
Good, because I was going to go to ab implants because I was getting bored with this art
Jen?
Punk.
Hi, Adam. How are you doing?
What's up there, Jen? Now, what was your name before?
My name before was Gregory.
All right.
So you're a good one. You sound good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Did you undergo the surgery?
I underwent the sexual reassignment surgery.
Mm-hmm.
And real quick, I just want to say about Alexis Arquette or whatever the hell Arquette. When she said that she wanted to pass as a transsexual,
no one wants to pass as a transsexual. We go out, and I live as a woman.
Right, of course.
And that is absolutely ridiculous. And she made us all look bad, and I'm completely offended by her.
Good for
you. You guys did a wonderful job.
Thank
you. If you want to ask any questions, feel free.
Well, a couple of questions. Did Alter do your work?
I'm sorry?
Did Dr. Alter do your work? Did he shave your junk?
No, I actually didn't get to go to Dr. Alter because I didn't get to fly out to do my surgery.
Oh, see, yeah. I was gonna, my question is, where are you?
Does your insurance cover that in Phoenix?
No, it's about $18,000, $19,000 just for that one surgery. To get it for all my surgeries, and I've had no facial surgery, no breast augmentation, no body.
You've had a lot of hormone therapy. Mm-hmm. That voice is not natural. You've had a lot of hormone therapy.
No, the voice, Danny, actually doesn't change. You have to train. You have to train that.
Speech therapy.
Jen, you really worked at that because your voice sounds amazing.
See, because the reason I asked where you were and if you were hot, I am now single. No,
Jen,
I'm serious.
Jen,
I'm
what just, do you look
do you
like?
Do you know what I look like?
No,
yes,
I'm just
I do.
Thinking for the team.
Yeah.
I would take one for the team and tell you what that
can
was
we,
like.
Can we get a
Jen's
description?
Maybe Jen's hot.
Yeah.
Jen?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm 5'5". I weigh 104 pounds. I'm 32B2431.
Uh-huh. As a thing for the show, would you like to do it with me and then I can report what it's like to do it with a person who's been sexually reassigned?
Well, Danny, my fiance would probably be silly mad. And my fiance is a straight man.
Oh, how long have you been engaged?
That's interesting.
I've been engaged for almost a year.
And does your fiance, do his friends know that you used to be Gregory?
A couple. But his family doesn't, and
if a couple know, everyone knows.
You know, the vast majority of people. I'm what you would call stealth, which means that people don't know that I'm a transsexual because it's really not any other business.
Right.
Stealth means you don't know people know you're transsexual.
Right.
But that's exactly right, Adam. A lot of people travel through life that way. Jen, let me make this suggestion to your fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Ever do mushrooms.
Uh-oh.
Because if I got high on mushrooms, I don't do mushrooms anymore because I'm scared I'm going to get high on mushrooms and pass a billboard with my face on it and my head will explode.
Right.
I'm too freaked out. It was easy when I was living in a crappy apartment. I had nothing on my mind except for when my next, bowl of Top Ramen was heating up. But when you start getting a little responsibility and a few bucks and a few people to pay, your head will explode. Can you imagine if you got high on mushrooms and you're staring at your fiance who used to be you?
Oh, my God.
I recommend, beer, maybe a little weed, but never any mushrooms. And for Christ's sake, acid.
Okay.
His head will melt.
Unless I missed the setup for this and I'm about to repeat, because I was really into this and I'm about to repeat the same thing you just said. Were you talking about twins?
No.
When that used to be you. Imagine doing a sexual reassignment on one of a set of twins.
Have you ever done that, Dr. Alter?
No.
Could you imagine you're with your girlfriend who's beautiful and you've always loved, and you meet her twin, and it's a lumberjack?
That would be freaky.
That would be freaky, dude.
Yes. How about conjoining twins? A lot of doctors. Alter told me a lot of these putts is take kids apart. That's easy.
Yeah.
Putting them together, that's the difficult surgery.
That would be interesting.
No, they used to call him Dr. Dumpty, as in Humpty Dumpty, because he's the only one that could put them back together.
Jen,
again.
In your world, is Dr. Alter just a superstar that everyone wants to go to?
He is definitely one of the top ones. I mean, there's Dr. Alter, then there's Dr. Meltzer in Scottsdale, and a couple other ones. Dr. Island.
They're no one to us.
So your fiance... And I'm going to try to be delicate here, though, Jen. Your fiancé is not freaked out at all that you used to be a dude.
Yeah, actually, at first he totally was. That was a really, really awkward third date.
Yeah, break it to him, Jen?
A third date rule about I used to have a penis.
I mean, how do you bring that up?
Let me tell you the rules. Here's how a smart postoperative transsexual will date.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
You'll go on a couple dates.
All right, hey, Jen, can you hang on a second? Because we're running late. We got to take a break, but I do want to talk to you more about this. Please, cool. Thank you. Dr. Alter's in studio. Dr. Gary Alter, altermd.com. Epeers on at E, Dr. 90210. Jen is on the phone from Phoenix. Told her fiancé on the third date, I want to know what protocol is. Because along with these physical changes that take place. There must be a small rule book of here's what it's like out in the real world. Right. Do you want to be with women? Do you want to be with men? If so, do you mention it at the bar? Do you mention it on the third date? Don't mention it after you have sex. I mean, what protocol is?
The third date rule has got to be so weird because on the third date, you think you can offer her your penis. Now she gets to say, no thanks, already had one.
Already had one. We'll take a quick break. Jen will walk us through this next on the Adam Carolla Show.
And now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, condoms.
But what if you already have syphilis?
Well, I mean, my friend.
That was Adam Explains Condoms to 1780s guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Dr. Gary Alter in studio. The aptly named Dr. Gary Alter. Alter. CapitalMD.com is where you go. Business is booming, mostly because of all his appearances on Dr. 90210 on E. This cosmetic surgery business, you want to talk about a boom town.
Yeah.
I would reckon that 25 years ago, 5% of the population would even consider it. And now you talk to a 13-year-old girl, she's telling you what she'd like to have done on her 18th birthday.
In Southern California.
In Southern California. But this will be commonplace. You know what it sort of just sprung to my mind? It's like cell phones. When I was growing up, doctors and CIA agents had cell phones. Right. If a guy was talking into a phone and it wasn't attached to a cord in his house, he was some kind of somebody. I mean, I used to watch the show Vegas, and I'd see Robert Urich talking on to a cell phone in his car, which was actually seemed like a real phone to me, but he'd be talking.
It was,
and it's like,
yeah.
Oh my God, this guy has a phone in his car.
Yeah, I know how that goes.
And then the Batmobile had a regular phone.
Ironically, watching it on a 13-inch Zenith black and white TV set, if anyone wants some insight to the Corollas, but this guy's talking on his phone and he's not in the house. Well, that's what cell phones. Now, every kid has a cell phone. Is it sort of think it'll turn out that way with plastic surgery?
Well, it's sure going in that direction, Southern California. And you get some societies like Argentina, Brazil. I mean, they're very big on it, too. But, I'd say Southern California, the Sun Belt.
Right.
Is the most.
I heard Dallas is the breast
Dallas
capital
huge.
Of the world.
Phoenix, Dallas, Miami.
Well, and it all, I'll tell you what it does is it encourages other people because it becomes like steroids, which is if a guy in the league is on the juice and you're in charge of blocking that animal and you're not on the juice, well, then you're going to be out of a job.
Right.
If I had to get my teeth whitened because everyone around me was getting their teeth whitened and they looked so unnaturally white that mine looked unnaturally yellow. So thus, you have to. If you're going to sit between two guys that had their teeth whitened, you better get your teeth whitened.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because if you're standing next to two guys that are 6'8 and you're 6'3, you're the runt of the litter. That's how it works.
Well, the thing is also, you know, the TV shows, one of them, which I'm on, Dr. 90210, it deals with regular people having cosmetic surgery. So the masses that used to think that cosmetic surgery was only for the elite are now more accepting of the fact that, my gosh, I can afford it, too.
And
I can get it done. My neighbor out in, you know, way out in Riverside or, you know, in Hemet or whatever is having plastic surgery. I can have it, too.
Right. What is your percentage of men now, customers, transgender? I mean, in the Botox, the nose jobs, the eyes job.
Oh, it's going up. I mean, absolutely. More men are finding it acceptable. The most common thing for men is obviously nose and then eyelids and, you know, maybe a little Botox here and there. But
I like wrestling. I had wrestling once for a TV show, and it was amazing.
What is wrestling?
It's hyaluronic acid. It's a filler, so it'll fill creases and wrinkles.
But temporarily.
On the spot.
4 to 6 months.
Because I said to the guy we were doing actually Botox for the team for Entertainment Tonight. Wanted a celebrity that loved the thing, call me a celebrity. And they wanted to get him getting Botox to the forehead.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did it. And they said in 3 or 4 days, you'll see the difference and it'll be amazing. and they said something about Restylane and the grooves by my face. And plastic surgeons can be
cruel. Nasolabial folds?
They'll just go, they'll just start picking you apart and telling you what else you could use.
Did you do it in the grooves? And did you kick out the family of gypsies that were living in there?
Well, you can see them because they're banging. This was a couple years ago, but they're really, they're deep. They're immediate. It's a solid. I watched them go away as he squeezed it in. They just filled. It was, and I looked, I think, 10 years younger within seconds.
I'll give you that. Can we do that with my plumber's crack? I have way too much crack.
Let's just fill in the top three inches so I can work on that. How long does that last? 4 to 6 months, usually.
And then you absorb it. Jen?
Yes.
Now, Jen, we were speaking to before the break, is a post-op transsexual, has gone through the procedure, 5'8", 105 pounds, has a straight fiancé.
5'5", 100.
I was trying to stretch you out a little, baby.
I know. I didn't correct him.
So now you say you had to break the news to this gent who didn't know you used to be a gent after he asked you out. And how did he find you and how did he ask you out?
Well, we actually met at college.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he just, it was just a very normal thing. You know, he was in one of my classes and we met, and that was how we met.
And he asked you out, and you went out on the first date, and you said nothing. You said nothing about this reassignment surgery.
Yep. And in all fairness, I don't kiss guys either until they know.
Just because that's fair.
Dangerous. There's more transsexuals that are killed every year in hate crimes.
That's what I was going to say.
Than any other minority.
Yeah, Brandon Tina.
So. No, I mean, if you think about the news story about that poor young man that was left tied to a fence in some hick town.
Right.
Or Brandon Tina.
But I don't know. I know poor young man, or I would have said his name.
Fair enough.
But you get that, and all of a sudden you meet a girl, and you're making out with her, and she goes, you know what, I probably should tell you this. I could see some guy going off, just going crazy.
Well, in a weird way, the genitalia has been changed, but the mouth hasn't been altered. So from the neck up, you're making out with a former dude who is still a dude.
Right.
Who's grown his hair out and is wearing kissing potion. I mean, there's a weird thing, and maybe it's just my retarded math, but the genitalia, that ain't there anymore. The head up, that's the same head walked around with. So you're making out with a dude head.
So, Jen, you didn't kiss this guy in the first and second date.
No, I didn't.
Can you cut the head off, Alter?
And then
put Claudia Schiffer's head on there.
That'd be nice.
So we can sure rearrange it a lot.
Yeah.
But you know, there are a lot of transgenders that I have seen in my practice that have never told their spouses that
they're married.
They are married.
That is wrong.
Okay.
I gotta say, you know, I will keep the C word chambered in case the argument ever gets heated up enough. If I was transgendered, I would have that one chambered.
Yeah.
In case the argument ever got heated up enough, in case you caught them cheating, in case, you know, those arguments you keep,
right?
You get out of, you, whatever it is, it's your secret weapon of arguing, which is, I will bring this up if it gets to this. It's essentially the Derringer pistol you have in your boot. If this fight comes to the point where it really looks like I'm going to die, I'm going for this pistol.
Yeah, mine is, of course, you cheated. When the fight gets
far
enough.
Your wife uses that against you.
When the fight gets far enough, I'm totally right. She's totally wrong. And we're really getting into it. Then she'll just make me go, you cheated. And it can have. It's because I didn't take the trash out. We're in a fight.
Nothing.
But it now ends with, you cheated and I lose. I just have to shut down.
Nothing is going to trump, I used to be a dude.
No.
Nothing.
Well, you can't beat that.
All right. So, Jen, you don't kiss on the first date.
No.
Then the second date rolls around.
Yeah. I think I might have told him on the second date.
Mm-hmm. So there's sparks on the first date. There's a chemistry, but nothing physical. Now the second date, what do you do?
Well, we were out actually at dinner, and I just told him, I said, you know, do you know what a transsexual is? And I explained.
You know that's not an arbitrary question when you get that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, really, one of these days when I come down to California, I'm going to have to come in to the station. But I think if you met me, you wouldn't argue that it was a dude head you were making out with.
Right,
But, because, I mean, not to be arrogant,
but I've been told on numerous occasions that I'm hot.
Yeah.
I'm not surprised.
Double-edged sword, though, when she's hotter than all the people we're with.
Right.
Then you have to kill yourself.
Plus, it also depends on where you hang out.
You're lusting after the dude head.
I mean, you know, I've been told you're a toaster. Because I hang out in places where people see things differently from the way they actually are. I mean, you're hot coming from a certain crowd doesn't mean that much. But there's something about you that sounds attractive.
Well, I mean, there are. There are some very attractive,
very good
looking
transsexuals. I'm a
sorority girl.
Oh, wow.
Well, how old are you, sorority girl?
From a tri-delt to a unidelt.
I'm 23.
23.
Oh,
so young. Relatively young. So you get this procedure done. Now, you ask, you know what a transsexual is. And again, this guy's not a long-haul trucker. He's a college student, and you're a college student, too. And he says what? What is his reply to that question?
Well, he said, I think I do, but not really. Because a lot of people mix up the word transgender with the word transsexual. Because transgender is an umbrella term that could mean cross-dresser, it could mean drag queen, it could mean any number of things. Transsexual is someone who actually changes their sex.
So
you
explain what transsexual is.
And then he says, you know, I need some time to think about this. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And then I throw down money for dinner. Because
sure,
at that point, I don't think it's appropriate to have him pay when you're going to drop out on him.
Right. Plus, there's always the argument, which guy's going to pay?
Nice. Then,
yeah,
that's nice, Danny.
Yeah, come on,
Danny. You're really helping your case to get in my pants next time you come to Phoenix.
Anyway. I didn't know it was an option. Wait a minute. You said fiance. I thought the game was over. If the game is afoot, I'm all back
Daniel
on your
have
side.
Sex with you, but he insists on going.
But I just want you to know, I'm only doing it for the team, so I can come back here and go. So I did it with a transsexual, transgender, and this is what it's like. That
we
I don't
to
love
let
you.
Him watch.
I would be very calm while I brought up my fajita platter via my mouth.
And then he called me.
And so he said, I need time to think. And he split?
Yep.
And he split.
He didn't split immediately. He was very polite. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that happens. You know, the ratio that I usually tell people is 10 to 1. Mm-hmm. For every 10 people that you date and you really like and you tell, one person's going to be okay with it.
Her ratio's better than mine. Honestly, you used to be a man.
So
you've got to be hot.
And
you're in you're in a sorority.
Yes.
All right.
Well, you know,
the sorority doesn't know.
It's interesting about
that's right. Because it's not like a Ty Kappa used to be a Duda or something.
They were in a blackball situation.
Right.
Yeah.
There's no Ty Kappa Dicka.
So he used to call. So then he calls you after how long?
About 2 days.
And says what?
You're beautiful. I don't care what you used to be. You're obviously a woman now. I don't care.
You know,
seriously, you are an alcoholic.
What's interesting about male to female transsexuals is a lot of them are able to get partners. And I presume it's because they used to be male. They know what guys like.
Right.
So they know how to treat a guy.
Interesting.
Yes.
All right.
Okay? They know what a guy wants to hear. How to treat them,
even sexually, you could assume.
Hold on a second. Alter, hang out. Jen.
Uh-huh.
Can you hang out one more break?
I have till about 8:30. Yeah.
Good.
Class.
Good. She does, and you can't buy that. You have to go to class. Because
right.
I want to hear about the first physical encounter next. They say a guy knows what a guy likes.
Yeah.
I want to know, this guy had to think about it when you guys were eating, and eventually you got together and he knew what the score was before you guys got into the sack. I want to know how the first physical encounter went. Was he able to achieve an erection? Was he drunk? How was it for you? We'll talk about that next. Also, Dr. Alter from Dr. 90210 on E is going to hang out with us and provide the color commentary.
Here's what not to watch on TV tonight. At 6 on Sleuth, don't watch Buried Alive 2. A woman inherits a fortune and is marked for death by her husband and his lover. Starring Ally Sheedy. At 6:30 on RFD TV, be sure to miss Rodeo High.
highlights of the National High School Rodeo Competition. And at 9 on Fit TV, definitely don't watch Buff Brides. A former WNBA player tries to lose 20 pounds for her wedding day. That's what not to watch. Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, buried alive, too. If you're getting buried alive for the second time...
You have extraordinarily bad luck.
Just horrible, horrible luck.
I mean, the Lindbergh baby, once.
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 You figure, if you plan on getting buried alive once, you know, in an 80-year life, but twice, that is just a horrible
draw. Even Corolla, who has there. Now, I don't remember the name of the Corolla recycler.
The Recyclarola?
The Recyclarola. Even a guy who plans for that cannot possibly prepare for his second burial alive. No.
Dr. Alter is in studio. Dr. Alter is a dear, dear old friend I met during the Loveline years. AlterMD.com is where you go if you want information on him. He is board certified in plastic surgery and urology. Only a handful of guys on the planet are by board certified like that. Jen, we're speaking to from Phoenix. She is 5'5". No, 5'4". 5'5". 104.
Yes.
Attractive. She emailed us a picture. Kyle just got this picture.
Oh, she's good looking.
Wow.
Yes. And does not have any masculine qualities.
Wait, she's the one on the right.
Yeah, I'm going with yeah.
Okay.
Unless she has a buzz cut.
She probably started taking really female hormones at a rather young age.
Jen?
Yeah, that's all girl.
Is that what happened?
What?
The female hormones. Did you start taking female hormones at a young age?
I was 19.
So relatively young.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was relatively young. I mean, and I'm still changing. Mm-hmm. You know, because I'm only 23. It takes 6 to 7 years to be completely done with changes.
How's your family with the alterations you've made? Not good.
Not good.
No, my family is pretty radical religious right, and they can't really understand the fact that it's a medical condition, and that if I didn't have to do this, I would really have rather not. Because it's a lot of pain to go through, but it becomes either, you know, transition or you're probably going to kill yourself.
So are you estranged from your family?
No, we still talk and we still hang out and we're trying, but it's difficult.
How's Thanksgiving?
A lot of fun to listen to people mess up my name.
Are there just a ton of wishbone jokes? Like, I wish you had one.
They don't actually ever make jokes, you know, of a sexual nature because, you know, religious right. But it'll just randomly be like, hey, Greg, pass the potatoes. Oh, I mean, Jen.
Well, I must say I would be very guilty of this because about 10 years ago, my sister Lauren announced to me she was going to start spelling her name with a Y. And I said, no can do, sis.
Yep.
She said, why not? And I said, why? Why? Ask your precious why. Why not? I'm not doing it. It's L-A-U-R-E-N, baby doll. So from Jen or from Greg to Jen, boy, that would be a tough fit with me.
My wife's sister went from Amy to Ame. And I wouldn't do it.
Yes.
I'll give you
a choice between Greg and Greg Arena, but not Jen.
Well, Jen, you were telling us that your fiance is straight, and this might be a stupid question for Dr. Alter, but do you think somebody who, a straight guy, can be with a transgender woman and be totally straight?
I think so. I mean, you know, it's such a wide range of sexuality. I mean, from transgender to crossdresser to,
yes.
I mean, gay, bisexual.
Right.
I mean, I think a straight guy can be with a transgender as long, obviously, if that transgender woman is very feminine, et cetera.
And really good at it. See, now that's why I offered my sexual favors there, Brian, because I want to know, does that make you gay?
Aside from
my bedazzling, I have very few gay qualities.
From talking to people. Even mounting another guy from the rear doesn't make you gay in this world we're living in.
Nothing can make you
gay.
What about eating pinkberry?
All right. Is that a euphemism?
No, you guys eat pinkberry?
I know. It's froyo.
Frozen yogurt.
Ben Lyons is coming on, by the way. Jen?
Yes.
Okay, so let's get to the encounter. The first night right. You guys became intimate. Last we left you, you were at the restaurant. He needed time to think.
Uh-huh.
He went home, did a little soul searching, and called you and said he wanted to see you for a third date.
Uh-huh.
What did you do on the third date?
Well, we didn't actually have an encounter on the third date.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't until about the fifth date.
Fifth date. All right. Well, yeah, let's fast forward to the fifth date.
We'll fast forward.
What happened?
Well, you know, we had a lovely night. Neither of us was drinking, actually. Neither of us were drinking.
Mm-hmm. I'd have been wasted.
You know, to give you an idea, I mean, I've had pelvic exams where the doctor didn't realize that I was a transsexual.
Huh. Is that true, Alter?
Yeah, it's very possible.
Very possible.
The doctor that did hers
I'd never see
good.
That doctor again.
All right,
well,
so...
what you do, Danny, is you tell them that you had a hysterectomy.
Yeah.
And that's why it ends prematurely.
Ah.
That's why there's no cervix.
And the med school graduate goes, oh, fine, mister, I believe that.
So your work down there is pristine. Even
absolutely.
A trained professional couldn't tell. So
most of them, so about 80%.
So you go home, you're sober, you're with your man... And you start kissing.
Yep.
And then what?
Well, obviously, you know, things progress from there. I mean, I don't know how much I can say because it's on the radio.
Yeah.
But you know, I mean, your first question was he able to perform?
Mm-hmm.
You know, absolutely. There was no problem. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't like, oh, he was ready, and then I got undressed, and oh, suddenly he's not ready anymore. You know,
right.
He just got more ready.
You've done both, though. You've been on the winning and losing end of the penis, yes?
Yes.
Which is better? It's been vexing me.
You know what? I have to say that the sex and the orgasm is so much better on, well, I guess as you call it, the losing end on the female.
As a woman? Damn you, God.
I've heard that. I ask
really,
a lot
Jen?
Of patients that.
Because it always seems like it's better for guys because they get a bigger thing.
By the way, they're in to get a consult on a nose job, so it seems extra creepy when Dr. Alter asks them that question. But yes.
But I have asked a lot of transsexuals that had the surgery. I asked them,
better.
You know, is it better as a female or male? And basically, they all say that the orgasms are different. But it's more pleasurable as a woman. It's an estrogen effect.
Let me break this down. Let me break this down. Not only do you get a break on your auto insurance.
Right.
You live 7 years longer than we do.
Yeah.
And now I find out your orgasms are better as well. Okay, that's it. Danny, suicide
path. Schedule,
okay, I'll see you at the top of the building, say about 10:01.
Jen, isn't it fun being a girl?
Yes, and you know, let me explain to Adam the difference, just so he understands.
I'm sitting.
Okay.
The male orgasm
is like climbing up a mountain, and you get to the top, and you see a cliff, and then you jump over, and there's that release.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And then you're done. 2 seconds, you hit the ground, you're done.
Right.
You're dead.
Yeah.
The female orgasm is like climbing up the mountain, getting to the peak, jumping off the top, and then having a parachute so you get a 30-second ride.
Uh-huh. Now, what if you're like Teresa and you never have sex?
Then it's like you're at the base camp.
You just need a better name for your
feet. Just go home and pack your own chute and cry every day.
What if you just make all your clothes out of a parachute? You've never seen that.
That was a very good
parachute.
That was very good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I feel like I understood it really well.
Right. So for us, it's great, but it's the best second and a half.
Right.
Let's get back to the first time that you had your chute packed. And was it wonderful for him? Was he afraid? Was he nervous about his manhood?
I think at first, like when he first started actually, you know, invading enemy territory,
right?
We'll say he was worried because, you know, he'd seen that what was that show, Nip Tuck, where the guy had sex with the transsexual woman and
right.
tell. So he was worried, but once he actually, you know, got, you know, once he was fully, you know, there,
right?
Then that worry was completely gone.
No. Yeah, but the female orgasm is such a mystery anyway. I know girls that have the world's most difficult time just having one. I know girls that if you stare at it long enough, they'll have one. I know girls that can have five. So it's a mystery where guys may not be as pleasurable as some women. They're certainly easier to achieve. I can't imagine not having one.
Well, Let me ask that to Dr. Alter. When you hook up the plumbing yourself and turn a man into a woman, what is the batting average on the orgasms? Because it's true, women are all over the map with this. Some can't have it at all. Some only get it through this method or that method. Is it a higher percentage when you hook the plumbing up yourself?
Well, I mean, you know, the male has an orgasm. When you do the sex change, especially if you leave a clitoris,
yes,
the nerves, almost all of them have orgasms.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, Jesus. There's no question. At least mine, you know, time. I mean, it's dependent upon the surgical technique used.
Right.
But they have orgasms. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, there are a lot of studies going on now about female sexuality and mm-hmm. studying why some women have multiple, some don't have any, et cetera, et cetera. And mm-hmm. it's, like Danny says, a huge mystery. But there is finally being some research done on it.
Dude, I've done tons of research.
Alter, let me ask you a very personal question. Every car that leaves the Ferrari factory does a few laps on the test right. track before it actually goes to the dealership.
Because you could say, I have to make sure.
The proving grounds. Is there a cot in the back room where you actually go out?
By the way, he said cot.
And field test your new vagina.
No.
Okay, I have no respect for you.
Really?
Then we have nothing
left
to
talk about.
How do you know if it works?
I just have to go by what their boyfriends tell me.
All right, so Jen.
Yes.
Jen, transgender Jen. Yes, I'm looking at your picture, and I could not tell for one hot second that you were not a woman or not born a woman, I should say. Okay. I'm glad you've been able to work out a nice, steady heterosexual relationship. Last question, was it weird at the end? I mean, was the guy your boyfriend, your current boyfriend, after the first time, did you not talk to him for a few days afterward, or was everything just hunky-dory?
No, it was absolutely wonderful, because it was at that point that he realized that the only difference mm-hmm. in having, you know, sex with me versus having sex with a genetic woman, which is what we like, that's how we like to differentiate,
yeah.
is that, number one, it's easier to get me to orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
Number two,
mm-hmm.
it's easier to get me to do things because I've been there. I understand what he wants.
Right.
I used to talk to all these guys when I was in high school.
All right, hold on, Jen. I've now turned the corner on this. Alter. I don't want to get a divorce, but here's what I'd like you to do.
Okay.
Add a penis to my wife, then remove it. Okay?
Right, because I'm
starting to feel like these folks have a leg up on us. I'm not ready to switch. I don't want to find a guy that used to be a dude, but I would like to turn my she into a he and then back into a she again. What are you doing this weekend?
Well, have her come in.
Okay.
We'll talk.
Let's work on that. Hope the twins are listening. We need to take ourselves a break. Dr. Alter, everybody. Alter.
Always a pleasure.
CapitalMD.com. Look for him on Dr. 90210.
And thanks to Jen for being so upfront.
Yeah, really interesting, I thought.
I did, too. Ben Lyons, I know we're always so busy laughing our way through a lot of this stuff, but I really had some questions, and I feel like I got some answers. Yeah. Ben Lyons, he's on E's Daily 10. He reviews movies. He reviewed my movie. It was at Tribeca. We'll hear what he has to say next on The Adam Carolla Show. Ew, the movie.
Wolverine.
Wolverine. Ben Lyons in studio. Ben.
How are you? Good morning.
Wolverine. That was great. Ben can be seen on the E's Daily 10 reviewing movies and interviews and red carpet and all that good stuff. I did a nice little interview with Ben Lyons when I was in Tribeca a week or so ago because he went and saw my movie, yes?
I did. I saw The Hammer.
The Hammer.
You were very convincing as a sort of an over-the-hill guy from the valley, a real stretch for the career. But
sure.
But still, you delivered, man. It's a great film. I hope people get to see it.
As a reviewer, you just said, so I'm going to take your word, or was that conversational? You just said it was a great film.
Oh,
would you put that in print?
Well, you know, let's be honest. As I always review movies, for what it is, it's great. It's
wow,
a lot of
that's
fun.
That's awesome, man.
He does a great job. Obviously, he had to be very resourceful. Didn't have a lot of money to make the thing, correct?
You
Not
could
Spider-Man
tell.
Budget, but nevertheless, it was a good time.
That's great.
You know, I wish you would act more, to be honest.
Huh.
Well,
what kind of roles do you see Adam playing?
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a good question. I could see him in a period piece, like an old Shakespeare movie with the big wig on and the whole thing and a sword and maybe an outer space movie, like a sequel to 2001.
You can just play my clothes.
Play the computer in 2001. I don't know.
Period piece.
Milady asks many questions. Me doth think it's time for ale and oral.
Prejudice and prejudice.
But did you have fun making it? I mean, you don't get to act every day. Was that sort of a different thing for you?
Yeah, well, really what it was for me is I had an idea for a movie that I liked, not to sound too blowhardy. Bone phone's ringing on the newly single Bonaducci.
No, it's the... I'm sure it's my wife about... We got evacuated from our home last night because of the fire.
So by all means, answer the phone.
No, she's fine. I'm assuming that's why she's calling to tell me she's fine. But that's I've been going on all morning.
Yeah, he lives up in the Los Feliz area. I wanted to do... Well, look, here's the whole thing. I got into show business not so I could do the same thing for 100 years. You know, we did 100 episodes of The Man Show, and then it was time to move on. And everyone says, why don't you do more Man Show? And it's like, we did 100 episodes, time to move on. It's the cool thing about show business. The definition of a crappy job is you work at the same factory for 30 years right. And then you get a watch.
Right, right.
Well, you can work on the same crappy sitcom for 15 years.
Or the same cable network.
Or the same
movie stars.
Cable network. Yeah. Right. Look.
Tedious.
That's the whole thing. Now, what's cool is 1 year you're writing a book, and the next year you're shooting a movie, and the next year you're doing a TV show.
Well, I hope you get back into it, man, because I thought it was, I really thought it was great.
How did you find the guy who played his sidekick, who's his real life friend and former co-worker Ozzy? How did you find
very convincing? I thought he was very convincing as well. Again, take it for what it is, and he might have a long career as well. He kind of reminded me of like the sidekick in Borat a little bit, kind of right a little bit.
So if you were to give it a 1 to 10?
What is your grading
system?
I just want to talk about it and let people know, and I think people can sort of listen for a few seconds to what we have to say. But I'm 6.5 stars.
I'm giving
it's really good. It's really, you should be proud of it, and it's something you can show your.
I'm giving you an opportunity to say anything you want. I mean, you will not hurt my feelings.
He's done great and really good, and you should do more. Why don't you just shut up? What's wrong with you?
Yeah, what else do you want?
What's wrong with you, man?
I just want
to beat him till he says you suck?
Just want to make sure you're not just being friendly on
not
the radio.
Not at all.
You seem very honest. I feel like you would say if you thought it was subpar.
Absolutely. I mean, I hope you guys would have me back, even if I said I didn't like it. But no, there's what's not to like? I mean, you're playing a boxer in the Valley who's trying to get back into the Olympics. Is pretty funny. It's straightforward, and I thought you did a good job.
Well, thank you, Ben Lyons.
Absolutely.
You're an expert from your mouth to God's ears. What else? Well, I guess we should talk movies.
Pirates of the... I always say Caribbean wrong. Is that right?
People say it both ways, and then I started to realize it's kind of an East Coast, West Coast, because if you grow up out here, my only reference with Pirates of the Caribbean is that's what it was always called at Disneyland.
Yeah.
So they're making a movie after the Matterhorn. You can't call it the Matterhorn movie. Right. You just got to call it the Matterhorn movie. That's my only point of reference. Do you think that will beat Spider-Man and take the box office record?
I don't think it will. Their PR campaign and their marketing campaign has been kind of a mess. Keira Knightley's not doing many interviews for it.
She says she's quitting acting.
My daughter, 22 years old. I'm sorry, I didn't interrupt. My daughter, who is 12, and like we went to see both of them, was so disappointed in the ending of the second one. She didn't get the concept of you can stop in the middle of a story and say, here comes the next one.
People saw it last summer, so it doesn't have that 4-year hiatus that gets everybody excited. I think that was a big reason why Spider-Man went out and made a $1 billion.
Can I ask him about a chick flick that I'm interested in? I'm dying to see this movie, Waitress.
Oh, it's good. Carrie Russell, Cheryl Hines.
Yeah.
Directed by the late Adrienne Shelley.
I love Adrienne Shelley. Yeah. She wrote this movie, and then she was murdered.
Yeah, I heard about this reviewed on TV. She wrote it, she co-starred in it, and then was murdered before it came out?
Yeah,
it's her first film. She never saw it, and it was a terrible story, and the movie has obviously nothing to do with that, but it is a dark comedy. It's kind of like this year's Little Miss Sunshine in a way, and Carrie Russell, you know, is not just the girl from Felicity. She's
First starring role.
Yeah, I mean, she was in that tiny little indie film, Mission Impossible 3, that came out. She was in Dead Man's Curve or something like that. She was in a movie. There's a good sex scene in a closet. I remember that.
that's
all right, Ben. Which movie's better, that crappy pie movie or my boxing movie?
Waitress or the hammer?
The hammer, absolutely. I could see you eating pies like in the waitress. Yeah. The train, right? You're training and eating the pies.
I love pies.
Did it make you hungry? Because doesn't she make these incredible?
She does.
Like,
she names pies after all the terrible things that happens in her life. My unborn baby pie and my deadbeat husband pie and Cheryl Hines is great too, of course, from Curb Your Enthusiasm. But I'm glad you want to see that.
I'm curious about the story because I heard it reviewed and they said the movie's good and Kerry Russell's great and the co-star and creator of The Thing died before the movie ever came out. What happened? Well, she was murdered?
Go ahead,
from what I've heard, I think she was writing or editing the film in her New York City apartment, and there were some guys illegally doing construction across the street, and she went across and said, hey, guys, would you mind stopping the construction? You're not supposed to be working here. Went upstairs, and one of the guys came up and followed her, punched her in the face, and knocked her out. He had thought she was dead, so he like faked her suicide and ended up hanging her and making it look like it was suicide. And
it's so
crazy. It's so sad.
It's grisly. And she was an incredible actress. She was in these Hal Hartley movies. The Unbelievable Truth, I think, was one. I can't remember the name of the other. And I had no idea she was a writer, and apparently it's an excellent movie.
Yeah, it's really a shame.
On the same note, bizarre note, and again, there's just the blow to the face and kill. So sad, so tragic. And then there's the waste part. It's one thing when someone gets robbed and they steal $2,000 from a guy's wallet. When they steal $4 and they kill the guy, it's like, what a waste. My movie, The Hammer, sorry, T, for bringing it back to my movie instead of your weird little indie pie movie.
Hey, did you ever see Hots?
hold on a sec. I got it on DVD. Bonaducci's movie. No, my movie, The Hammer. There's a guy named Max Kellerman. I mentioned this a few months ago. Max Kellerman is a great boxing analyst and a great sports analyst. And if you watch ESPN or whatever, if anyone who watches boxing is going to see Max Kellerman, he was doing the fight just last weekend with the Mayweather fight in De La Hoya. He has a brother who's also a boxing guy or entertainment guy or what have you. We invited Max Kellerman, because I'm a fan of his and because he's out of New York and because he's a boxer, to come see our boxing movie, and then realized halfway into the invitation that his brother was killed by a boxer named the Harlem Hammer with a hammer. He invited this guy to come stay with him. He was a boxing guy. He got into a little bit of trouble. He needed a place to crash. He was crashing out of Kellerman's brother's place, got into an argument, and killed him with a hammer. The brother was in his 20s. This happened a couple of years ago. Can you imagine telling the guy whose brother was killed with a hammer by a guy called The Hammer, hey, buddy, I got a boxing movie. You're going to love it. I know you love boxing, and this is The Hammer. This is right up your alley. I mean,
I know you were out there, and you had mentioned you had invited De Niro, and I guess he's a boxing guy, Raging Bull.
He evidently doesn't show his face at his own festival.
He runs the Tribeca Film Festival. You see him opening. Now he gives a wave, and then he's off with the girlfriends.
He's
and does
that got as much to do with that as Paul Newman's got to do with the salad dressing. I'm guessing. He ain't bottling the stuff.
And Redford does with Sundance.
Right.
Exactly.
Yes. Oh, we got a... well, he had a call on line one, but I guess they dropped off. So, Ben Lyons, by the way, here from Lyons Den. Segment on E's Daily 10. Pirates of the Caribbean, which they shot... two movies at once, right?
That Jerry Bruckheimer knows how to make some money. That's the smart move.
He
does.
There's nothing longer and more arduous than shooting a movie. I couldn't imagine going back to back.
You tell me you didn't shoot Hammer 2 and 3 at the same time?
No.
Going down to the Olympic trials?
I wanted to quit halfway into the Hammer 1, for the love of Christ.
Well, Ben, your dad, Jeffrey, is a famous movie reviewer. I wonder
famous,
if you ever...
That's a big statement, but he's well known. He's been doing it for a long time.
Have you ever violently disagreed about a movie that you loved and he hated?
Oh, absolutely. Well, one that I didn't really care much for. I know I was following the tranny who was on before, right? That's the story of my life. But he was a fan of Juana Man. His name is on the box. His name is on the box of Juana Man. And this comes up at Thanksgiving and Christmas and anytime we get into it with movies. I say, dude, Juana Man, Tommy Davidson. Tommy,
yeah,
come on.
That's where the dude pretends he's a chick
to
be in the NBA.
It's not a horrible movie.
Okay, would you put your name on the box for it?
And
okay,
then somebody says something about nappy headed, and then everybody gets fired.
Ben, what are your five or so all timers? I mean, what's at the top of your list?
I'll be a cinephile for a second, and I'm a big Hitchcock guy. I really enjoy Alfred Hitchcock. North by Northwest, I enjoy Torn Curtain, even with Julie Andrews.
Rear Window.
Rear Window.
Do you like Disturbia?
I do like Disturbia. It's kind of Rear Window sponsored by Apple, in a way, right? With the iPod and the thing. And Shy is great. I mean, Shy is in another one of my favorite movies, A Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
Shia LaBeouf?
Yeah, Shia LaBeouf. He's in Guide to Recognizing Your Saints.
I haven't heard of that.
Oh, it's great. Downey Jr., Rosario Dawson, best director out of Sundance for Ditto Montreal. What else do I love? I'm a big fan of Juice. It's the reason I bought turntables in high school. I like that movie. Omar Epps, Tupac. Right.
Okay. Well, you got range, brother.
Yeah, I'm trying to think all over the place.
Movies I loved and or hated, name them, and then see if we agree. How about, was it Memento?
I like Memento. It's a great movie. The last time you saw a movie like that, that's told backwards and forwards, and Carrie Ann Moss and Guy Pearce.
How about my favorite sports movie, Hoosiers?
Oh, Hoosiers is great. Dennis Hopper is great. Everybody talks about Gene Hackman's performance, but Hopper is great. He's the creepy kind of guy.
Alcoholic dad. Yeah,
I'm trying to get off.
Corky's Revenge.
That's a great movie to see.
I'm trying to, well, besides the Bonaducci vehicle, HOTS, Hold On to Sex, it was an acronym. Where he was in a hot air balloon with a bear.
He just talks about the friggin' Behringer he keeps in his hand, and he's got so many. You're just, why do you carry a bazooka with my name on it?
Like Adam was saying, you know, the career takes you lots of different places, and for some, it's in a hot air balloon with a bear.
That was your Citizen Kane.
Or the wacky sidekick on the Adam Carolla show. It can take you anywhere.
I think you did it. Did you do it with a monkey in that movie, or was it the same bear?
No, I did it with a seal.
Seal. That's right.
You don't see seals in too many movies. You see whales and bears. You don't see too many seals.
You hardly ever see the guy from the Partridge Family pretending to have sex with a seal in a movie. That's a rarity right there.
Good reason.
He was kissing the seal. It was funny.
That's what was happening.
I'll tell you one that somehow leapt to my mind, and it's off of everyone's list, because it's easy just to do the Goodfellas and the Casinos and the Raging Bulls, and I love all that stuff. I loved Master and Commander. I enjoyed the hell out of that Russell Crowe movie.
Russell Crowe on the ship, huh?
It seemed incredibly authentic to me, life on one of those ships. And when the cannonballs were whizzing by and knocking everything and breaking up the thick timbers and everything, it was he was great. It had a ton of action in it, but yet it gave you a real sort of glimpse into that dismal life being out at
sea. Of dismal life, aren't you into that bicycle movie, The Dismal Life? Are Breaking Away?
Do not insult Breaking
Away. I'm insulting the life of a bicycle guy, but
wait a minute.
Isn't that what you're into? You like?
Enjoy Breaking Away. Dennis the Quaid.
Yep.
That's right. About 1981,
Sean
something
Cassidy
like that.
Was in that too, actually.
There you go.
But we just let Adam's love of that total homoerotic movie go by.
Just let that one
slide
by.
I'll play the cello for you. You be my captain.
Yeah.
Like a total gateway film.
All right, it was a little gay, but I enjoyed it, and I didn't think it got its due. I think people are kind of turned off a little by the genre.
It's definitely not one of the main staples in the Russell Crowe box set, I'll tell you that much.
No, but go give it another view.
Are you gay?
Relaxing. Here's a at-sea movie that's good and flies under a lot of the people's radar. Dead Calm.
Oh, I don't know about Dead Calm.
Yeah, Kidman.
Did not see Dead Calm.
Is that Nicole Kidman, really?
Yeah.
One of her first movies, and almost the whole movie takes place just in the middle of the ocean when it's dead calm, which is weird, which is sort of spookier even than the big high cresting
open
waves
water,
and everything.
You've seen Open Water, another movie that takes place in the dead calm of the ocean.
Yeah, I liked Open Water, but I felt like I just saw like a home movie or something. I didn't feel like I saw a movie.
Open Water 2, now there you go.
Did you never see Dead Calm?
I never saw Dead Calm. I gotta go back and check that one
out. Do your homework.
Dead Calm is it's one of my fantasies, is that's how I want to retire, is to sail around the world.
With Nicole Kidman.
Although I have my skipper's license, and it was so hard to get here, so wet and cold all the time. Now I just want to sail someplace cool and then have another skipper take it someplace cool and I'll fly there.
Skipper's license? Still, really? You go and you sign up?
Up to 50 times.
Where's the skipper license store? There's a place you go.
No, it's a government. You go to the Navy, you go to the Coast Guard. It's a big-ass deal.
You're a fascinating amazing human being.
Thank you, sir. But it's something I really wanted to do. So I think the fact that I had a personal interest, that movie spooked me.
It was a good movie.
Because pirates are a real issue, by the way. A serious issue for coastal sales.
Yeah, not eye patch, you know, not pirates.
No. Xiao Yun-Fat is a crazy...
Real pirates.
So. With bazookas and machine gun pirates. Right.
Ben Lyons, Lyons Den... on East Daily 10. Thanks for the nice review of my movie. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. I hope people get a chance to see it. Is it going to come out? What's the behind the scenes deal, man?
We're in negotiations
we
speak.
You're so Hollywood. I love it.
But the good news is the more guys like you heap praise on it, the better our chances
of getting it into a theater.
Good
stuff. It's good stuff. And to be at Tribeca, that's an honor in itself.
Right.
Great festival.
Absolutely. T?
Yeah.
The news?
Yeah, well, actually, we're going to hear from Johnny Depp as he pimps that pirate movie. And also, sometimes on the radio and on TV, newscasters mess up.
Uh-oh.
And it's fun when we take a listen to it when it's not me.
All right. We'll hear that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Hey, this is Harlan Williams, and you're listening to the Porcupine-Faced Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, I am. Teresa!
Yes?
What's going on in the news, baby girl?
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Unfortunately, what's going on here in Los Angeles today is a huge fire in Griffith Park. It broke out yesterday around 1:20. It's near the observatory. About firefighters from 77 companies were battling the fire.
Bonaducci lives up there.
Yeah, he was evacuated.
He had to evacuate. What happened, Danny? Uh-huh. And it's just enough time to take the pets and get out. Didn't even let you head back for the bedazzler? Wow, heroin.
The real Bonaducci's back.
I'm sorry, it's my wife.
That's okay.
No, she can't go back.
Can't go back to the house.
Wait a minute.
Literally, my one street is this how you...
Mandatory evacuations were ordered for 300 people, among them the Bonaducci's.
Well, and we didn't, like, I didn't get mandatory. With me, the cops, I have to have done something really wrong for them to tell me what to do. And so they hiked up my driveway a couple times because they kept seeing lights going on and off. And then they got really serious. And then we ended up having to stay in the valley and really far. It was a big hassle. And my phone's been going off all morning about people who have been hearing about it on the news, which is kind of actually interrupting to my gig. But the wife wanting to know if she can go back home and me having to tell her, from what I understand, the answer is no.
And so no returning home.
I live on Cromwell Street. No, you can't.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in fact, I'm looking at an ABC News source right now, and it says the evacuation was in effect from Vermont to Cromwell.
Yeah.
So you're at the edge of the... I'm about 5 minutes south of him.
If you would like to come by and visit, that's the corner I live on. Huh. That's where I live.
Well... Let's just hope T's neighborhood doesn't go up because there will be many, many a sexual predator.
Come on, there's only 89 within a 1 mile radius, according to Megan's Law.
Look, take this in a spirit which is intended, but this would be the greatest day in our nation's history if your neighborhood caught on fire.
One day I'll move out of Koreatown. Now,
By the way, honey, if you are listening, it doesn't say anything about the houses being in danger. There's just so much equipment.
Ah, I see.
The houses, the fires contained as far as structural damage is going to be in the future. That is their guesstimate, that no houses are going to burn there. But there's so much equipment, you can't get to your house, so they've still walked up the street.
That's exactly right.
So just relax, and your house is not on fire. You just can't get home because of trucks.
It's hotter than Hades. Everything is dry. We got no rain this year, so this is just the beginning. As a matter of fact, I'm going to start dousing myself with the hose before I leave the house. I'm just going to soak myself because we've had two big fires in an area where we get fires once every 15 years. Right. We've had two in 6 weeks, so it's on.
Well, arson was initially suspected. I don't know if you've heard about this, but a man suffering from terrible burns walked out of the brush in the park just when the fire started. Right. So they admitted him to the hospital, and they were calling him a person of interest. Then there were unconfirmed reports that it was a homeless man putting out a cigarette. None of this has been confirmed, so there's still no telling for sure what caused the fire, but the firefighters are doing a great job, the men and women of the Los Angeles Fire Department, and we hope they're all safe.
And they couldn't have been more polite. They were forceful, and they were not kidding. When we heard this morning that it was an option, you don't have to go, they can't make you go, they didn't let us know that. at any point did we feel like we could stay, but in their forcefulness, they still stayed very polite and professional.
Let me make this quick piece of commentary. Yeah, the fire department's doing a great job. The homeless guy up in the hill, there's a lot of open area through that area. And when I drive home, I pass encampments. This is homeless people that have hiked up the hill, spread out a shopping bag and a you know, box, and created a little shanty town up in the hills. They're essentially settling the old west, except for it's 07 and it's across the street from me, and there's a constant stream of garbage and trash and just the stuff people create when you're living in your own little makeshift tent area. And then there's a stream of that garbage that goes up and down Cahuenga, and there's a stream of homeless people that pour up and down the street until they hike their way up into the hill.
In your encampment, how many?
They're spread out all over the place. Oh. I don't have any real idea other than they're there. They're creating garbage. And I would imagine a lot of them are drug addicts. And I imagine a lot of them are drinking. And I imagine a lot of them smoke.
Right.
So when you mix booze with sleeping on hay with chain smoking, you get fire in the hills.
And now, when you're cooking your food, is still in the can at Cayman. You just take the top off.
Right. You got an open can of Sterno up in the hills. Now, our city officials, who seem to be obsessed with all things parking and all things involving extracting money from taxpayers, will not do a goddamn thing about this. Does that bother anybody? Tom LaBonge, you worthless sack. Instead of talking about what a great job the firemen are doing, how about you hike your lazy ass up that hill and get some of those homeless people out of there?
Well, it's a 4,000-acre park. It's huge. As Danny pointed out earlier, it is the largest municipal park in the United States.
Is that the words I'm looking for?
Urban,
I kept saying
area.
Urban, but yes, it's municipal.
But again, fixated and obsessed with parking tickets,
right,
which is extracting money from people that pay your goddamn salaries, you lazy pusses.
This isn't the same one from yesterday.
Bonaducci got his second one in as many days. We're not having. But as far as homeless drug addict vagrants that are setting up camp on the hill, nothing we can do. I'd like to add a garage onto my house. That's going to require me going downtown and performing oral on the mayor and then giving him several thousand dollars for the privilege. But if you want to bivouac up on the hill, no problemo. Not a goddamn thing we're going to do about that. Does that bother anybody? Get off your ass.
Actually,
and do something about this.
In a way, no, it doesn't.
It doesn't. And that's the sad part.
If it were clean... a little cleaner, in some cases, it doesn't, because I think because you're down on your luck or whatever happened to you, you are still a free American. You have to have done something wrong to be incarcerated, to be put into a mental hospital.
You're saying we shouldn't leave them in the park. We should maybe provide some shelter.
If you light up a butt on
I'm telling you, they don't go to shelters. They don't feel people rob them in shelters.
Whatever. The answer is, if you smoke a butt on the beach, you'll be cited. You're pitching a tent on federal land.
An ashtray.
That's what I keep trying to tell everybody.
Hotel, they have a golden bowl with parts of beach in it with a stamp of the logo of the hotel. The beach itself is, in fact, an ashtray.
And the ocean is where your toilet goes.
Right.
Please, people.
Leave me be.
Well, on to a disaster of a much, much, much smaller magnitude in the world of the media. Now, the Fox News people have a radio network, and it syndicates a show at noon to a bunch of its affiliates nationwide. At noon yesterday, they sent out a feed, and perhaps they should have checked it. You know, we all make mistakes, but it's fun when it's not me to make fun of Fox News Radio. As they, this is what went out to many of their affiliates.
Nice.
Okay. All righty.
Okay. We'll
okay.
Time.
See you later. Bye bye.
Why is it not playing?
Fox News Radio, I'm Uma Pemaraju, targeting soldiers at U.S. military posts with six men under arrest.
What happened now?
Guys! It was so funny when someone yells the F-bomb and then yells, are these mics on? Supposed to yell, are these mics on, and then yell the F-bomb. Fantabulous.
Well, I'm Teresa Strasser, and I'm sorry we didn't get to Johnny Depp, but I will have that for you tomorrow. And that was the effing news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You
CNN.
The reason we didn't have time for that is we're running late. Penthouse pet Krista Hayne, I believe it's pronounced, is coming. An interesting and possibly unfortunate name.
Hayne.
Is coming into studio. We'll talk to her about her travels next. She's hot, by the way. I've kept looking at her in the green room, but I didn't want to stop and stare, so I did the peripheral thing. You know, I'm like a horse. Take a quick break. We'll talk to her next.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, transsexuals.
If you suspect your stripper used to be a dude, it would be a grievous error to ask, hey, when did you get your wang chopped off? Just politely excuse yourself from the champagne room and warn your bros to watch out.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Chris Dane in studio, Penthouse Pet of the Year, runner-up. Close second. How do you know you're runner-up? Did they do? Did they go all the way through the months? Like, hey, June 12th. Sorry, baby. Hit the brakes.
There's actually only Pet of the Year and Pet of the Year runner-up. And they actually call you and tell you. So it's actually funny because they say, oh, congratulations, you've won Pet of the Year runner-up.
You get a...
But if the Pet of the Year were in, like, a hideous train wreck... Then do you take over the position?
I think so.
Let's say somebody cut the brake lines of the new Corvette she got for being Pet of the Year.
I was getting there, buddy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's just say she had an accident that you thought one of these two handsome gentlemen right here was responsible for. How grateful would you
then
be?
Then you take over her duties.
I would, and I would. You know what? Actually, it's not really like I'm second. You do just as much. It's... The title's definitely better, but being runner-up is just as good.
Listen, lady, I'll kill her for you. So. But now, tell me what you want.
If you win, let's see, if you win Playmate of the Year, you get, like, you know, Corvette or $50,000 car, and then you get a check and a whatever. What does Pet of the Year get beside that stupid gold key thing you have?
I like
for your
it.
Neck?
Well, last year, she actually got a car, and, you know, you just get a lot of money, a year contract, which is, it's really good to be able to work with them for another year, just traveling around the country, promoting yourself is not really a bad deal.
Jumped a bone half.
What?
No, Bob Guccione.
Yeah.
No, I'm sorry.
He doesn't own it anymore.
Guccione doesn't own it, huh?
No.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I liked a man who wore his shirts further unbuttoned than I did.
Krista, how are you discovered?
I was actually, I was doing modeling and acting for like 6 years before this, but I was go-go dancing in a club in New York City.
Hey, everybody. First runner-up in the Pet of the Year competition. Got a skeleton key hanging from her neck. That's the key to my underpants. Chris Day, Jade, stage four. Jade. Are you right back in the club? Fat guy, yeah. Leather fanny patch.
Go-go dancing is not stripping.
No, it's not.
Right.
What is the difference and what is the call for go-go dancing? Because there used to be go-go clubs where you would drink a beer and watch chicks in bikinis dance around. And
like
it was
in cages and stuff.
Yeah, it was kind of wholesome fun.
It's similar. Yeah. I think it's just easier to just call it go-go dancing so that when you say, oh, by the way, I dance at a club in the city, they're not like, okay, so you're a stripper.
But you could be a prima ballerina, and if you said to me, oh, I'm a dancer, I think you're a stripper.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's cool.
If you told me lawyer, I think stripper. That's the way my mind works.
Especially if you saw
I'm a
Krista.
Cardiologist. How long have you been stripping?
Krista, by the way, if the Pocahontas cartoon were a human, isn't that kind of how Krista looks?
Yes.
Oh, thank you.
34C, 25, 36, and it looks like a natural C, by the way.
No way.
Very lovely.
Yes. You have perfect breasts. Those are not created by the hand of a doctor?
No.
Wow. No. God loves you.
Yes, he does. So go-go
and God
dancing.
God loves me, so we've got that in common.
You're go-go dancing.
What is involved with go-go dancing? What do you wear?
It ranges. I mean, we've worn, like, thongs and literally...
Hey, everybody. Kick off your thongs and put your eyeballs on Christmas thongs. The Ace Man has worn a thong and take three of you to peel it off me at night. You want to talk about a mess?
like trying to pull a cable through a briar patch. Enough about the Ace Man's hairy ass. Let's get back to Chris. JJ4.
All right, sorry. Where were we?
You're dancing.
He has like a totally different vision in his head than what it is. Yeah. It's so funny.
What is it really like?
It's actually a huge club. Uh-huh. It's like a tremendous, tremendous that holds like, I don't know, like that over 1,000 people.
Oh, okay, people.
No.
I said perf. People.
And there's a big stage. You can either dance on the sides of the stages, and sometimes it's elaborate depending on the party. If they have a theme, then they dress you up in like, sometimes they do like showgirl themes. It just ranges.
Classy.
It just depends.
So,
yeah, it's classy.
So now if I was like, Puff Daddy and I was throwing myself a birthday party, I might go rent out this club and have you dressed in whatever theme
in whatever deemed. Yeah, you wanted to. We had a hip hop party there with a Mardi Gras theme.
Uh-huh.
So we were all in beads and
I'm going down the card. It's a great card. It's like
it's a great card.
It's rangy when we're talking about Chris Dane here, who's a runner up in the Penthouse Pet of the Year.
Our incredible producer Ange brings in what she believes to be pertinent information, and they're on these cards. Like you were Penthouse Pet of the Year runner up. Right there, that info. The one I like best, though, teaches people billiard tricks while in a bikini.
And
it sounds like a punchline.
Just underneath that had sex with Jared Leto.
Yeah, described him as 7 out of 10.
All right, hold on a second. We need to take a break.
All right, but I want you to live on those two moments. Had sex with Jared Leto and he's only a 7 and teaches you tricks with your balls.
I am not done peeling your onion there, Chris. Sorry. Got a cold coming on. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be back to talk more go-go dancing with Chris Dane.
What's happening? Dave Navarro here, and you are listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, where were we? Yes, beautiful, tanned, naturally C-cupped Chris Dane.
I think we're boning Jared Leto.
Jared Leto's one of these guys where I would recognize his name, but I don't know if I would recognize him.
I'd recognize him, but I wouldn't know his name.
Really?
Yeah, because my kid's into one of the... He's actually being taken fairly seriously as a musician now.
30 Seconds to Mars?
Yeah,
is that his band?
That's how I know him, because I've seen him with my kid.
I know him from the movie Prefontaine.
He's cute. Yeah, can I tell you on my If I Were Gay list, he'd rank pretty high. I think he's cute.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, he's real cute.
How'd you meet
cute
him, highs. Krista?
It's more of a scroll, by the way. It's not just a list. I mean, it's not like a shopping list, the Danny's If I Was Gay list. It's
like
a scroll.
Top 10.
No, it's the phone book. But yeah. I rate them, and he does well.
Well, I'm curious how you met him. I know Chris is on the cover of this month's Penthouse.
Yes.
Nice.
The cover girl. How did you meet him?
I met him. His band was like a while ago. His band was opening up for Incubus.
Mm-hmm.
And they had kind of like an outdoor like meet and greet where you can get their CD signed or whatever. So I was like, oh, why not? I liked him from the movies. I was like, oh, he's like a cute guy from the movies.
She had a little greeting with the meat later on and in the hotel as well. That's another different spelling with the meat. But when I say, ladies, when Ace Man says meet and greet, he's M-E-A-T, baby.
He was on My So-Called Life, right?
Yeah, that's actually where I started liking him from. But I mean, I was like 12.
Krista was on his so-called penis.
On his so-called lap.
Well, she gave him a 7. It's got to be better than just a so-called penis.
Yeah, so you introduce yourself.
Yeah, I just introduced myself and we exchanged numbers and then we wound up talking like months later.
There's a weird thing that when you're really hot, you hit it off, really.
With a lot of
you just hit it off. Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
Because I think you and I are hitting it off. And after you leave, I'm definitely hitting it off.
Krista, do you think you're hitting it off with Danny right now?
Yes,
she's really feeling that vibe right now, I can tell.
Newly single, Danny Bonaducci. Any chemistry here?
We have a little chemistry.
He's got half of a lot of money.
Yeah, but I have a half of a lot of money. Gretchen and I used to fight, and she'd say, I'll take half. And I'd look at her and I'd say, one of these days I'll be so rich, you can take half and I'll still be rich. And guess what? That day has arrived. What are you doing later?
Looking good.
Is this what Jared said to you?
No.
No, Jared just said, look at my face. Here's my winner.
No,
it
wasn't really like
Are you single, Krista?
No.
You have a boyfriend?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. You ever swing with the ladies at all?
Sometimes.
A little flexibility there?
What?
You have some flexibility in that department?
Yeah. Like, I would never date a girl. but it's sometimes
you have one
like,
join in.
You know, you girls are so lucky with your lesbian excuses because women are so beautiful in form. And every time you say to a chick, like, hey, have you ever been with a woman? Would you ever think about being with a woman? They go, I just think the female form is so beautiful.
Well,
and you go, like,
different.
Yeah, I know,
yeah.
But a dude can't do that.
No, right.
I mean, like,
no, they can't.
I can't go, I'm not really gay, but I was checking out Bonaducci at the urinal. God, he's so hot.
You have to appreciate it. You can't. Yeah, we definitely appreciate it. Like, I could definitely say that I probably check out girls more than guys. But it's not even because I'm attracted to them. It's just, you just do. Like,
so
you admire it. There's more to admire, I guess.
When a penthouse, a pet of the year runner-up, which means nothing to me except one of the hottest chicks in the world, who also every now and again have a girl join in, how do you stop regular guys from just killing your boyfriend out of jealousy? Because I hate him. He's not here. I don't know him.
I hate him, too.
Is he a regular guy?
Your boyfriend?
What?
Is he an actor? Is he in the business?
No.
He's just some guy that gets the pet and another chick.
What?
He's just a guy that gets the penthouse pet and another chick every now and again.
What's he do? He's a freelance designer, and he does a little bit of modeling, too.
Now, do you bring a lady home for him as well?
I mean, it's happened. But
I mean, gosh, who would Kristen meet to bring, wait, other penthouse pets?
No way.
Oh.
No way.
I can't take this pressure.
It's happened.
You know,
my wife has left me. I'm poor. My house is burnt to the ground. I quit drinking.
So your man was, Danny, hold on for one more day. Your man was with May and what other month?
I can't say.
But you brought home another penthouse pet.
Yeah.
Oh.
Do you know what? If you just flip through the right year calendar, it's like a cartoon of people who he's boned. They'll just start moving.
Yes. Oh, I hate this guy, but yeah. I'm so secretly jealous as
I'm
well.
I'm not secretly jealous.
I'll tell you what I'd like to do with this guy. I'd like to boil his penis and make a tea. I know that sounds disgusting, but I'm deadly serious about it. That's right. And then I will drink it, and I'll be imbibed with his superpower.
Yeah. What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
I mean, it's not him. Like, I bring it
up. Come on, Bonaduce. You don't tell me you never thought about
it. So it's your idea.
I never thought about it, but I do it.
You guys, Chris is about to give you important information.
What happened?
It's not him that's saying it. Like, I bring it up.
You bring it up.
But obviously he's not going to be like, no.
But you do this, now be honest, because you'd kind of like to be with a woman, but women don't really want to admit they'd just like to be with a woman because that may make them lesbian. So if you do a three-way, you get to be with a woman and not be lesbian.
Yeah, but I mean, if I did, I would say it. Like, I'm not embarrassed of it. It's just more fun. Like, there's no emotional feelings with the woman, like, at all. It's just fun. And it's usually girls I know. It's
what
not
if,
like a stranger
what if,
off the street.
What if she it's starts fun. Doing things to your boyfriend that make you jealous?
Well, there's, like, a lot of threesome rules.
Mm-hmm.
So
there are rules.
There are rules.
Hopefully laminated rules that are posted
right by the foot of the bed.
No sex with him.
No, that's not a rule, but
really?
It's like I have to be 100% in control. Like, as soon as I feel threatened, it's over. Mm-hmm. So therefore, you don't want it to be over, so don't make me feel threatened.
I understand.
Staten Island accent's kind of working for me.
Yeah,
usually it's not, but in her case it is.
You know, it's the red hot version of girl fight.
Yeah.
Is what it is. It's like I'm the hottest chick in the world and I can kick your ass.
So the second Krista's not having a good time, you pull the plug on the threesome.
Yeah, which that hasn't happened that often, but that's why you already know the rules.
Can I ask you something? Because as fascinating as you involved in a threesome or a onesome, or just even a one piece and just let me think about it. As fascinating as all that is, when you say pull the plug, how do you do that? Do you just go, you know what?
This stopped
working for me about a minute ago. Get out.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I don't make anyone feel uncomfortable. I'm just like, I don't know. Like, I'll go to the bathroom and I've actually sometimes
really
been like,
noises.
I don't feel good.
Oh, really?
I've done that before.
Can you imagine the girl goes, I'll be right back, goes in the bathroom.
Well, that's why if I was this guy, every 10 seconds you would hear this come out of my mouth. How are we doing? We doing good? We doing fine?
Is anything bothering you?
You doing good? How you doing there? You need a second pillow under there?
You think so.
How you doing? You need another wine cooler, baby? How about a Tootsie? We doing good? We cool? Okay. I'm going to do something on this chick I normally just do to you. We cool? We all right?
I don't like how much. She is not as pretty.
Oh, hey, baby. I'm right on you.
That's not cool.
Another Bombers and James?
Really?
What do you like? You like your water room temperature, or you like it cold? What do you like about it? So he can't do stuff on her that he might, that's too intimate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like, what's, all right, what's now, too intimate?
I can't. We got to take a break, Danny.
Oh, I'll kill you, man.
I'll tell you what. We'll
first
tell you.
First, I was going to kill the penthouse pet so she could be the penthouse pet, but now I'm cutting your break lines,
I'll
mister.
Tell you what's killed the segment on American Idol.
Chris Dane. Oh, that's right. Nice, so much, so much work, the 8 minutes you put in this morning.
At least nine.
We'll be right back after this. Well, that's it. Plum out of time. Chris Dane. You may be first runner-up in the Penthouse Pet of the Year competition, but you're number one in my book. Danny asked me discreetly during the break if you could shoot him a winger, by the way. I won't be watching.
Okay.
I want to thank Dr. Gary Alter. Go ahead. AlterMD.com. Also, Ben Lyons. I don't believe you heard the man. Ben Lyons.
Said the movie was great.
Lyons Den segment. That's right. On the Daily 10. And Chris Dane. Penthouse runner-up, pen of the year, out on sale now. By the way, you're in this month's.
Yes, I'm on the cover of May.
All right, then I'll hustle into the office and take a good look-see. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying mahalo. Mounting another guy from the rear doesn't make you gay.